Sakura, Sky, and Loki. Tonight, the week of PAX East brought us new game reveals and new ways of revealing game news, but it seems one way of purchasing those games may be seeing big changes. All this tonight on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 770 for this March the 31st of 2019. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me here in studio, Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
There's my foot.
All right, there's your foot.
I'm actually fairly accomplished.
Good.
I've had a week that good things have happened in.
That's good.
Well, I've been open with, you know, my surgery.
Uh-huh.
I fit into a size 2 this week.
Congrats.
I'm like, I've never been a size 2. Maybe when I was 6.
Yeah.
So,
well, good job.
And I also made dandelion cookies.
You did. I've been eating them. They're pretty. They don't really taste like a lot like. Maybe it's like a hint. It's like that. It's like just the.
It's meant to be subtle.
Yeah, it's a very subtle. Yeah. So it doesn't taste like you're like actually eating flowers.
But they're edible the same way that rose petals are.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right.
And good for you. Lots of beta carotene.
Also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
She's just, you know, playing a prank on us. Really, they're spider legs, but you know.
I'm just going to
eat
them. Then they have protein.
Actually, I'm most impressed. Loki doesn't usually eat food from strangers.
I'm not a stranger.
I know, but still, even us, he doesn't.
I am strange.
He doesn't
normally eat baked goods of that nature.
Yeah, no.
But thank you for eating my cookie.
He eats what he brings, and that's that.
What did you bring today?
A sandwich from Raley's.
Sandwiches are good.
Because it took them forever to make the sandwich. They had to tell me the story about how they ran out of all the other bread types. I'm like, I don't fucking care. Just make my sandwich faster. Hold on. I have to wrap it 4 or 5 times.
It's
like, I'm just going to open it anyways.
Look for a recipe online, and they talk about their family history and all of the things that go into it. And they're like, I want the fucking recipe.
You want
the sandwich. I want the recipe.
I would say this is one of those socially acceptable times where you are able to say, get over there and make me a sandwich, because you are in a sandwich shop. So...
Yeah.
It's a little more socially acceptable to be able to
well,
do that.
I did the new modern way of shopping today. I ordered everything online and just went and picked it up.
How convenient.
It's for grocery shopping, and yeah, it's all right.
I don't know if I would want to like replace all my shopping with that method. But then again,
my neighbors have theirs delivered.
I do buy a lot of stuff online. Wow, it's
well, it's just we buy the same things every week. So it's like,
what are we
going
to do with all this commercially zoned space? We've all stopped going to stores and things. I don't know. Okay, maybe, and this does tie into games because we are a show that talks about video games, gaming news, gaming culture, and so forth. And we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, which is also available on Twitch, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And I do apologize because I can see as we are streaming tonight, we're losing a lot of frames as we upload. There's nothing unusual going on in the studio. We just unfortunately have some type of bad internet connection. So as we would usually do when we were recording this as an audio-only podcast, we're going to push through for the sake of the actual podcast and just hope it kind of comes back. Because it looks like the internet is doing one of those things where it's kind of coming and going. But unfortunately, like, yes, we've shut off all our background downloads. None of the other computers are on. It is what it is. So,
no, we're just doing the robot during the show. That's fine.
Right? Yeah. So unfortunately, guys, there's not a lot I can do about that, which really stinks because we are trying to attract some more viewers and get more people here to join us on Twitch. So it kind of sucks when things that are out of your control are preventing that from happening. But what can you do? So anyway, what else was I going to – gosh, I got off track. Speaking of games. Okay, so this has to do with the delivery and all that stuff. So – and this never happens, but Alan and I last night were like, let's go to Walmart. And I never go to Walmart, okay? Specifically that store. I usually go to Target. But for some reason, it was like, we haven't been there in a long time. And I was like, I wonder if they've released any new of those mini arcade games. Because they have that mini collectible series that is over there. I'm going to stand up and grab one of these. So they have these mini collectibles. And yes, this one is new that I picked up yesterday.
Oh.
So this is this arcade classics collection. I've only seen these at Walmart. I've seen a similar type at Target. but I haven't seen this specific same arcade classics library.
I might be stopping by then. So, is it the LCD screen or the...
It is. It's the nicer screen. You can play with that if you want. So
I'll just go buy one.
This is Ms. Pac-Man is the one for the podcast folks that can't see it. I picked up a Ms. Pac-Man machine because I thought they might have a new one I didn't have yet. And I was right. They have Ms. Pac-Man. And then I also picked up Dig Dug. And what's interesting about Dig Dug...
But you already have Dig Dug.
I do have Dig Dug in the Target collection. So Target has the My Arcade, and Walmart has the Arcade Classics, and Dig Dug's thus far is the only game that I know of that exists in both. So now I have two Mini Dig Dug machines. I haven't extensively played the Arcade Classic ones yet. So anyway, I told that whole story because my point was that's probably not something we would have done if we hadn't like thought, oh, let's actually go to Walmart. Let's go in there and actually go shopping and all that good stuff. So there is still benefits going on in person. And then, of course, not only was it that, but it was like, oh, they have the potato chips and all the different flavors, like the hot pickle that we couldn't find anywhere else.
That's where here. I found the beer cheese flavor.
Yeah, I didn't realize that like Walmart is the place to go for the, and I'm not endorsing him, but appears to be the place to go to find all that flavor-filled stuff because we the banana frosted flakes I can't find anywhere else now was there.
So Dan says that, by the way, the Ms. Pac-Man and the Dig Dug and the Fix-It Felix are not new.
Oh, interesting.
That they're we already had those.
Oh, they're new to me.
Well, I'm just saying that apparently I think it was the Ms. Pac-Man one I couldn't find for you.
Yeah, because they're all numbered. And so Fix-It Felix, which Jamie got for me when she was at, is number 12. So I knew there was one missing. I knew there was an 11 that I was missing.
Yes, and I think that Dan had found, maybe Dan found that one and I didn't see it. But yeah, I remembered, and I checked with Dan because I was like, do we have those? Because I have no idea what the crap we own anymore.
And then so, Dig Dug was number 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we need more.
Yeah, I know. Now look, it's like filling up that top shelf. I have to clean off another shelf space so I have room to put all these mini arcade games. And at some point, I'll have to do a YouTube or something to show off these different, you know, little collectibles because they are really cute. Like they're, you know, for the folks on the podcast that don't have the benefit of the visual, they're really tiny little machines. They're like the size of, I don't know, like half a shoebox.
I think
like,
a She-Ra doll could play them.
Probably. Actually, yes. You could probably pose like your Barbie dolls and your G.I. Joe dolls in front of them.
A couple of Transformers.
And it would look legit. Yeah. So they're fun. Anyway, let's get into some news. There's a lot of gaming news that has happened this past week. We have a lot of ground to cover tonight. So I'm going to throw it right over to Loki, if you are willing to
start
our kickoff topic tonight.
Okay. Yeah. So this is not a big surprise to me because I always looked at when they had these available in stores, like, why would I buy this versus, you know, buying the physical copy or buying it digitally on sale through the store? I just didn't understand the purpose of having these cards to buy digital versions of the games. Now, granted, Sony is now removing these from stores, but there's still the, you know, other companies that have digital codes there. I mean, for example, Nintendo has a lot of these different indie games that are available that you can purchase by digital code. But you think about it, though, you know, usually if you're purchasing digital, you're not going to the store because it's more convenient that way, or you're buying it on sale, which this card is never going to be on sale because it's a digital copy and it's, you know, specifically a certain amount that, you know, the vendor paid for that. They're not normally going to discount those. So
once in a great while, but it's usually a large retailer.
Very
that does
rare that that happens. So
funny enough, sorry, just quickly on the Walmart topic, since, you know, it's like it is newsworthy. I set foot willingly in one and I was like, wow, all these things are different than what I remember. One of them was the section for these cards and games on cards is huge. Like half what I remember used to be the glass cases and all that.
Yeah.
Like half, I would say a third of that. A third of that is now games on cards. And I was kind of like you. I'm like, who's buying games on cards when it's very easy to go on the shop and buy them? But gifts was the thing that came to mind.
Well, like,
you have a lot of people like grandma
well,
and stuff.
I guess
Walmart.
If you wanted to like just buy a card and like send it through the mail or something like that to somebody and you wanted to buy them a gift because you can't really gift digital purchases, I think, on many of the storefronts. That's something you could do, but at the same time, just buy them a points card and have them pick out whatever they want.
Grandma's not going to know that. And I can kind of see, like, especially like Minecraft, okay? Minecraft is a card. Grandma's not going to know, like, but grandma's going to know, oh, Minecraft is the thing that, like, kids are into, so I'm going to pick this up.
I think you're not giving enough grandmothers credit. Grandmothers now are seriously, like, some of them are our age.
True. I'm not talking about Grandma Skyrim. But
no,
you know,
I'm talking. You would be surprised.
You know what you get? Obviously,
like maybe the great grandmothers won't get it.
Okay, not all grandmas, but you know what I'm getting at, right? I'm talking about that crowd. Maybe what we think of as our grandparents never really understood.
No, that's not necessarily true because I had to set up an Alexa or an Echo for my father-in-law. So not everybody's going to understand what these cards are. I just didn't understand why they're there.
Bobby's yapping in our chat, although I enjoy it here, over at, of course, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, but he's bringing up some points that are worth reading here. So Bobby Black was in our chat saying, they're great for gifting digital games. I've bought people digital codes of games rather than just sending them $60. Also, you can't get a $60 point card. You can get a $50 card and a $20 card. So it sounds like a little bit like those dollar amounts might be kind of like, I don't know, the hot dogs versus the hot dog buns. They're uneven. You get a $50 card that doesn't really cover the cost of the game. Also, you know that little Jimmy, going back to my grandma example, you know that little Jimmy's not going to take your $50 gift card and spend it on porn. Because you may not understand that porn isn't available, but you know what I'm getting at, right? You want a little more control over what exactly that kid is getting. Now, Bobby's also bringing up the story that I know he's talked about on his show about mother-in-law kind of messed up trying to do the digital games because she created a PSN account to buy me some PS4 games and then learned he couldn't play them because she just didn't understand how the system worked. But she knew, oh, if I go to the PlayStation store, this is the cheapest place to get them. So she did, but now they're on her account. So he's been writing all these tweets like they will not refund the money. They're being sticklers about it. So
can't you just sign in under her account and then like download them and then...
He got it.
They used to share accounts like that.
Well, keep in mind, Bobby's house, there's multiple PlayStations and things going on, and he's married, and the wife is a gamer, so they probably have separate accounts. I'm not going to overanalyze the situation. He said it wouldn't work the way it was. I believe it. So,
okie doke.
I get it. So, but anyway, back to the point of these cards.
So anyways, April 1st is going to be where they're going to stop selling these cards. No, that's not really a joke. It's basically, you know, they're not going to be offered through SIEE's Global Digital Retail Program. The decision was made in order to align key businesses globally to support full games and premium editions. SIE will introduce increased denominations at select retailers, DLC and add-ons, virtual currency, season passes will still be available. So there you go. So now your complaint was that they didn't have those large amounts for the cards. Now they're going to offer those instead of just specific games. And that makes sense because if you think about it, I offer like a download for a specific indie title. Maybe that title's not popular anymore, and now it's just you can't sell it. Whereas if it's a... say $60 card or something like that, then you can buy it.
What about like the fact that it seems with this Sony might be trying to bring this in house and force digital transactions to go through their own store?
Well, it doesn't sound like that's the case. I think it's more of an issue that it's just that they're going to that maybe these didn't sell that well. Instead, they're going to address the need a different way so that you can buy those points and then purchase them through purchase your games through the store once you have those points. So there's more flexibility there. I think that it makes sense because think about it, instead of printing several different types of cards, you can just print the one card and then you can use it for multiple things versus just having all this. It reduces shelf space. It reduces the need, the extra cost of manufacturing that stuff. And it's giving the consumer what they truly want out of that. Instead of buying three $20 cards, you just have one for a full retail price of a game. So it sounds like they're still going to be doing like, you know, DLC and add-ons, different currencies and stuff like that, season passes. That's another thing you see quite a bit of. So it just sounds like just the selling of the actual games themselves is what's going away, and instead they're just going to put out these blanket cards that'll work for anything.
Do you think maybe, and to go back to Dark Sakura's point earlier, is that, you know, maybe grandma with my quotey fingers is more, and obviously I'm generalizing here, we all know that, but maybe that what I'm calling out as grandma in that market is more educated today. I think it's kind of the point Gene was trying to make, is that the grandmas today probably know more than we give them credit for, type of thing. So that maybe, like, because the market is more educated, we can kind of do this instead.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think, having tried to explain to my parents, you know, when my son wants, like, money for Roblox, and trying to explain to them what that is and where they can find that, they don't understand.
I'll be perfectly honest. I have better conversations with older women about technology than I do older men. And I regularly, with my job, I talk to people in technology who do sound design, audio design, imaging, graphic design, you name it. And more often than not, it's the women that are managing the hardware and software.
I think we're focusing a little much on what I was trying to give us, like, a silly example.
Your example is too silly for us.
A generation. I could have just said baby boomers. How about that?
But even so, though, I mean, when I'm talking to people who are in their 90s who are running circles around younger people,
yeah,
age doesn't really matter. I think it's just a matter of general competency.
Okay. But again, I would say there's also young. But anyway, we're getting hung up, I think, a little bit on semantics. I want to get to some comments from chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Bobby, again, says they feel better buying an actual game rather than just sending money. Yes, they could just buy points cards and say, buy this with it. But they feel better with an actual game that they know they bought. You know, I believe it, because I remember I had one family member growing up that didn't like to give gift cards. Like, I know this family member would not give Toys R Us gift cards because she did not want me buying guns, war toys, those types of – she did not want the money being spent on fake guns, which, you know, again, like, I get that. So she always bought Legos and those types of things because she knew I was really into those. She knew that if it was like a creative type of thing like that, that would always be a win. And somehow, strangely, never ended up with a duplicate Lego section. I don't know if she'd compare notes with mom, dad, or what. But anyway, but my point is that I can see certainly where some people want to know exactly what it is that they're buying for the kid or whoever it is they're buying something for, not just necessarily a dollar amount. So what now? How do we gift that sort of stuff? So let's say now in the future I do want to gift a copy of, I don't know, Assassin's Creed Odyssey to a friend because I think they would really enjoy the history mode. I don't know. I'm making something up. How would I do that? So I can't just go to the store and buy that card. I would either have to buy the physical copy, right?
Yes.
Or I'd have to, like, what, order it online or something.
Yes.
But now, okay, just piggybacking on this a little bit. Now, since we've talked in previous episodes about how it seems like a lot of the physical industry is sunsetting a little bit, right?
Yes.
We don't even know if the next round is going to have physical media. You know, things like, well, Stadia are getting rid of physical media. You know, not tomorrow. I'm talking 5 years, 10 years down the line.
You see that pie in the sky? Yeah, I don't know.
I'm still of the notion that when 5G is in 85% of the country, the industry is definitely going to be ready to move to this stuff. Well, that's my opinion. Anyway. And I also look at where technology is today versus where it was just 20 years ago, and we've come a long, long way. But my point is, doesn't this set an interesting precedent when it seems like our industry is headed in that direction? Or is it all not going to matter anyway because everything's going to be subscription-based? Because that's the way we're truly.
Well, what it's going to be, it's going to be the equivalent of having this electric car that can go 0 to 400 miles an hour, you know, just like in a fraction of a second. But unfortunately, its battery only allows you to drive 20 miles because they've imposed that kind of restriction on you. That's the problem we're going to run into. Whereas those bandwidth caps are going to screw you like, I don't know, like bandwidth caps screw you now.
She-Hulk10 in our chat says, I'm surprised that digital games are not more expensive than the disc hard copy. You know, in some cases, what you say does end up being true, because I think when, you know, you go to buy something on like the official marketplace digital game, usually they're going to be asking the MSRP almost every time. I mean, just depending on where you're buying it. Like, I'm thinking today I was in like Ubisoft's store because they have a thing where like these gold points that you were getting through Ubisoft, they all like expire today. So it's kind of looking around their store, and most stuff, not everything, but most stuff, they're still selling at MSRP, like the $59.99. And I would bet if I went to, you know, a place like a Walmart, a Target, a store, I could probably get the physical version of that cheaper than the digital. But there's a big but with this. And that is that I noticed the reverse is becoming more and more true, where the digital is actually cheaper than the cartridge, specifically Nintendo. Look at the Nintendo Switch specifically. Sometimes they're charging more for the physical versus the digital. And I want to say Puyo Puyo Tetris was an example of this. I think they charged $10 more for the physical than they did the digital, and that was because of the cartridge. But to kind of sweeten the pot a little bit, they were like, oh, we're going to put in these cheapy keychains and other little collectibles in there as well to make it sting a little less with that difference. So it will be interesting to see which way the seesaw kind of tilts as far as like digital versus physical and which one ends up being more expensive with all the sales and things like that out there. So anyhow, Kaijudo in chat says, I have 5G and it blows. It can't even go through walls. Is it real 5G though? Because AT&T kind of has that fake 5G thing.
What are your walls made out of?
Yeah, well, yeah. What are your walls made out of? Because that, when I'm in my office at work, it's like a brick building. I can't get anything in there. But AT&T is kind of doing a fakey fake thing with 5G. I don't think it's very cool. But yeah, because my phone just started showing like 5G when I'm down to, no, it's 5GE. Which means like evolution. And if I had the newest of newest phones, I'm an Apple phone guy. I have iPhone X or 10 right now.
10.
If I were to upgrade to XS, I think I would get
10S.
Okay, 10S. If I were to upgrade to that, I would get a slightly improved, but it's not going to be the same thing as like what Verizon is testing right now. So anyway. Just a little thing on that. 5G is kind of fake right now, but I think within the next year or two, it will become more and more a part of the conversation for sure. So Bobby Blackwell chat says, I got no keychains with my physical Puyo Puyo. I think it was only the Switch version that had them. I don't know if you got it on a different system. But yeah, because I have the Puyo keychain and Alan has the Tetris keychain. Isn't that gross?
I have the Japanese one for PS4. And it didn't come with anything. Yeah, it was also cheaper than the U.S. one.
Oh, because it had been out in Japan for a little while.
Oh, yeah. I got mine in Japan like a whole year before.
Yeah, it took a little while.
Dan actually got it for me, I think, for my birthday the year before last, if I think about it.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. So anyway, we've tangented away a little bit from the core thing. But just to bring it back, do you think this is going to have a long-term positive or negative effect on the industry, or is this just this doesn't change anything?
I don't think it changes anything.
For me, I didn't think it changed anything until I took that trip to Walmart and saw just how much of their space they dedicated to the cards. Now I'm a little bit more like, I don't know, but I'm also of the mindset of ultimately it doesn't matter. I think everything's going to be subscription in about 5 more years anyway. So that's where my head brain's at. I think
card
in the long
malls
term,
are a big thing.
Hmm?
Card malls are a big thing.
They're like, they're so compact.
And vending machines and all that. I mean, I'm even thinking in terms of like the next decade, we may see the big stores go the way of the dinosaur and things turn into, well, not like for grocery stores or things like that.
I was going to say, it's already here. Look at what's happening, like Sears and, you know, places, JCPenney, I think, has lost a lot of stores. Like these are places
that
I totally
remember. The ones
that
are remaining are the designer ones with capital behind it.
Yeah, right.
Because those are the ways to get those things.
Right.
But I'm actually even more seeing, because, I mean, like, look at when our mutual friend went to Louisiana, she showed a picture of, like, a benefit, the makeup company, a kiosk or a vending machine. And we're seeing more of those vending machines at places like that. But I've seen them in malls. What's to say we're not going to start seeing more gift card related things as big, massive vending machines where you just rent a space in another store? Then, you know, I'm seeing, you know, things like, you know, I don't know. Part of me wants to say that I'd see things like Walmarts and Targets eventually going, except that they are, you know, I think that when maybe the generation that might be in their 60s and up, and there's, like I said, there's a lot of people who will take the younger routes, you know, like what people in Gen X and earlier do, you know, and like to shop online and like to do all of this. But I think that we may start to see the big stores like that eventually go down until there's nothing left but Costco that rules them all. Mm. Costco will rule the big box store wars, franchise wars.
So this, in kind of the way you're putting it, this is almost like this is just one like kind of change in a much greater society thing that's going on in some ways.
And Bobby does say Walmart and Target having groceries will save them for now. And I do agree with that for now. But I also do eventually see that, you know, the bigger grocery store chains. I mean, we've already lost some big chains just in the last decade or so. Like, we had Ralph's. It's gone. Mm-hmm. I think Save Mart's are
what's gone in our area. I think L.A. still has them. But, yeah.
But, I mean, for the most part, we're starting to see things narrow down to a few chains for grocery stores. Mm-hmm. And Target is improving their grocery section.
You know,
they now have full Target grocery stores.
Target had their best year of like the last 15 or so years. They reported that recently because we got fiscal years coming to a close because it is, you know, coming up on April.
Ronma says that A&P is gone. A&P is never out here, but A&P was big back east.
Oh, not something I recognize.
It was one that I grew up with having an A&P.
Isn't it interesting that like grocery stores are kind of those one things where like if I talk about a place like Sears, oh, those are everywhere. JCPenney, those are everywhere, at least in the U.S., right? And McDonald's probably like worldwide, right? Everybody knows that. But like when it comes to grocery stores, there's very few that are coast to coast.
Well, and other like big southern chains, I think Winn-Dixie is gone, which was a big southern
chain. Piggly Wiggly?
Piggly Wiggly is still around.
So they don't have those here.
My daddy actually used to do sales for Piggly Wiggly, and we would call it the Hoggly Woggly. but I think that like the Kroger stores are on their way out. I think that like the big ones right now that are successful back east and especially in the southeast are like Publix.
Hmm.
You
interesting.
Know? But I mean, but we're starting to see, you know, and I don't mean to just completely detract into the full economics of it.
No, it's fine. I love everybody's popping up with their local grocery store chains in chat, and I'm like, I don't recognize
Kmart
is
not fully gone, by the way, She-Hulk. Kmarts do still exist in some areas.
But it's on life support.
But it is seriously it's got a very weak heartbeat right now.
Yeah.
It's got, you know, one lung has collapsed.
Well, and Sears and Kmart are the same
company,
and
it's on a catheter.
Too. And they're not looking good.
You know, but the big thing is that I truly see that we're going to start seeing more condensing. But now the other thing that's happening is that we are getting a general, I'd say, less support for a capitalist model. And so we're going to see this affect things like our video game companies. We're going to see things like this. The only way that they're going to stay viable is to evolve with the way the economy is turning, you know. I don't think we're going to be like fully communist, but we are making a socialist turn.
Games are going the subscription model like that.
It's happening
in 10 years. Games are going to be subscription. It's not going to be like it is today.
All of my SNES games are going to be even more valuable.
I fully believe in that. There will still be limited production of like physical games. Of course, the question is, are you going to have a device that can play them?
Well, the other thing, too, is that I think these big video game conglomerates are going to be going, too, with all the acquisition, you know, the ones that, like, wrap up other small companies. I think that all of these acquisitions are to come back to bite some of these in the ass.
Well, we're really getting off track, but I'll finish with this. No, it's fine. We're having a discussion. It's fun.
Yeah.
I will kind of end on this note, and then we'll move on to our gaming weeks. I will say that, like, yes, and you know, we have another story coming up later tonight about yet another company, AAA, did another 300-plus layoffs. But I think the interesting thing about the gaming industry is that when these AAA studios close, we have indies that kind of rise up. That's not really true of the rest of the retail industry, as far as I'm aware, right? Like, when Sears and Kmart close, it's not like indie stores were rising up to take the places of these things.
No.
But in gaming, I think what you're seeing is you're seeing more indie studios because it is much easier for anyone to make a game, mm-hmm. you know, that you see smaller studios that are able to put together their dream projects, the things they want to do. Maybe they're not selling millions and millions and millions of copies, but they're selling enough to their target audience that can put food on the table.
Well, and unlike with, you know, with a brick and mortar store, you know, the reason why the small stores went out is because the larger companies can buy in bulk and produce things themselves. But smaller, like digital company doesn't have to deal with that. So they can afford to put out a quality product for less money, especially since they may not have as many people to pay for, you know. So there are things like that.
Going to chat. Some people are fans of this discussion. Misty OLR in chat says, woo, Tangent Lounge Radio. Hey, it happens sometimes.
Yeah, but all this is affects video gaming.
It so. Does. It really does. Sia Tabiri says, I really think that there's going to be a movement back to more local or smaller chains and then expansion again.
That'd be nice, though.
You know, we do see, like, especially in, like,
I would say, have really been.
A food industry is what's really kind of, you know, like, look at here, like, Jack's Urban Eats or the Smash, not Smash Burger, Squeeze, well, that, the Squeeze In
Squeeze
Burger.
In.
Those are starting to spread like wildfire.
Or grocery stores. We have, like, what's that one on our street? That you got found me the chocolate at.
That's just a Raley's.
It is?
It's like R13, but it's owned by Raley's.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I thought it was like a smaller one, but we are seeing, though, I mean, we've lost
Elliot's. Okay, but you're seeing that big companies are just
going
opening,
a small model.
Opening small models, yeah.
Exactly. But that's the thing is that now that, you know, the big companies are being seen as, you know, it's like, you know, when they broke up monopolies back in the day, they're being seen as the big evil now, the big face of corporate capitalism. And so by putting out these smaller companies, you know, people think that they're supporting a smaller business. I mean, but I do see a big surge, especially in boutique clothing and, you know, boutique specialty items. Even printing is making a comeback. Like specialty printing.
Video game manuals coming back? That would be great.
God, I wish.
I wish, right?
You know, that was the big thing that I wanted to do when I went back into college. Was do video game manuals.
I'm sure you're not alone.
I'm crying inside right now, Rob. I'm sobbing.
No, I get it. I get it. Well, hey, I went to school to learn how to do radio and TV, and I'm not the weatherman I thought I'd be in college, but I got this gig.
You know, I want a drag queen weatherman. I would watch the weather then.
Be careful what you wish for. Anyway, just a couple other comments over in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOG Network. Some folks are talking about Virgin Megastore. Bonds 006 brought up Virgin Megastore. Well, you know, I'm drawing parallels. Between,
I bought my activator.
Oh, no. Virgin Megastore was awesome. And, you know, again, the music industry was in a very different place. You know, 15 years ago before Napster, and then Napster kind of led to the legitimate ways of doing it, like the iTunes store and so forth, you know, and now we're kind of, now we've got a lot of the Spotify's, Apple Music, Pandora, the streaming has really like jumped in and taken over that industry, and Virgin Megastore, boop, is no more, because I used to go to Virgin Megastore and pay like $10 to get an import Bjork single that I couldn't get here, but that's like the internet killed that need.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, I mean, and actually the last thing that I bought at a Virgin was a brand new Sega activator. I'm serious.
No, it's great.
It was $10.
You know where I bought my PlayStation 1, right? The warehouse.
The warehouse.
Remember them? Oh, you probably don't know. They
probably was before my time out here.
Yeah, it was probably only a West Coast thing.
I remember that.
Yes, I was like, somebody in chat's got to know the warehouse.
You know where Dan was working when he and I first became friends was Incredible Universe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That became Fry's.
Which was Tandy.
Yeah.
Radio Shack.
Radio Shack's big thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, to bring it full circle, though, so GameStop. This is why you're seeing a big shift in the way you walk into a GameStop. Again, if you haven't walked into one of those in a long time, it might look very different because now it seems like half of a GameStop looks more like their box lunch
merchandise.
It's because it has its higher margin
box
merchandise.
Stuff you'd get at conventions type of stuff. And now it's even going to be more so. There's not going to be a gift or a card section like there was.
There'll still be a card section. It just won't have specific titles on there. That's all.
But smaller, Loki.
It's not like, very big begin with.
Even now, you don't have to go grab like the temporary box off the shelf or anything like that. You just go up to the counter and say, I want to buy this.
Yeah.
So they keep everything behind the counter anyway.
Oh, sure, sure. Anyway, all right. Ooh, we got a lot of tangents. That was good. Lively discussion, good discussion. A discussion so good it may have brought back our internet a little bit. We've been dropping less frames, knock on plastic. Anyway, but we are going to move on to our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Dark Soccer, I'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
My gaming week is actually going... I started playing Animal Crossing again, so I'm just gearing up for whenever a new one gets out, hopefully soon. And Idle Pouring, and I played some Ingress just for reasons, because the bathroom is by the Ingress portal.
While you're blowing up the bathroom, blow up the portal.
It's seriously. It's just... I don't even know. But...
Come on. Pokemon Go on the toilet...
But
I know plenty of people out there have done
Pokemon
it.
Pokemon go to the bathroom.
Pokemon go to
this
kapoo.
Is my chance, though, to mention. I don't think I found out just this week, and I should have put it as a story. But, Steve Ritchie, guy who designed, like, Black Knight and Black Knight 2000.
You might want to look ahead, because I think it's coming.
Okay, well, yep. Then maybe I shouldn't mention it.
Yes, I don't think you'd mention it right now.
Okay, but we pre-ordered it. Well, we are going to be buying it.
Okay.
But we're selling pinballs right now.
And stay tuned for what? Coming up during Rapid Fire News, if my memory isn't right.
I've decided to sell my beloved World Cup soccer only to one party ever, with the caveat I can buy it back.
Oh, wow. That's a big thing for you to part with.
Exactly. Because this is how big this is, and I really want Dan to have it, and then I'll be upgrading my Apple Watch with some of the money. But I am planning on selling it to the Mills.
Oh, okay.
So that I know it will be well taken care of.
They'll take care of it.
And if they need the room, we have the option to buy it back.
Cool.
So, and we're going to give them a super good deal. But good. So that means that we're also selling Monopoly, and we're selling Demolition Man.
You're not going to try to make a bid for that Revolution X they have? Or that Dance Maniacs. That's the one. That's a machine I want.
Are they selling the Dance Maniacs?
Yeah, they still have a Dance Maniac. They replaced what was inside it with, you would know more about this than me. There's like an unofficial Dance Maniacs, like expansion.
Yeah, they have a super disc for a Dance Maniac.
Yeah, it's fun.
I didn't know they were selling it.
Yeah, ask them to play it next time you're visiting. It's fun.
All right. Well, if they're selling it, I might look into it.
No, they're not really. I'm just, okay. No, they're not.
Well, at any rate.
I would never part with it if I had one.
Dan and I finally have decided what we're going to stream together, which is going to be basically me drinking wine and playing Super Mario World, with Dan actually really playing Super Mario World and me being drunk. So maybe I'll be drunk. I don't know. But we've decided that that's what we're going to do on our Thursday stream. So
fun.
We'll get everything ready to go. But we've also been getting into some of our classic games. So that's about it.
All right. Loki, how was your gaming week?
My gaming week was fine. I didn't play a ton of stuff, but I did stream once this week. I did a dedicated stream to one of my favorite Japanese step edit artists, Gatton or whatever his name is. I found his Twitter, so I tagged him on it. So he got to check that out, and he thought that was great. But I found out, like, I thought I had all of his edits, and I don't. So I've been manually recreating the edits. I finally found an updated version of the DDR Edit Max 2 is what it's called now. And so it actually runs in Windows 10, because the old ones were, like, from XP and I think Windows 7 and stuff, and they don't run anymore because they were based off of, like, Visual Basic 6 and stuff. So I finally got something to work, and so I've been recreating those. So I have like eight charts down, and I've still got like 20 something more to go. So there'll be brand new edits pretty soon. So that's great. And then I did play a little bit of, we were at the arcade. I wouldn't say arcade. We were at this place. It's like an old Discovery Zone, basically giant playground for kids to run around in. And then they have like a little arcade as well. So I played the Jurassic Park ride game thing there. It's a shooter game, you know, so I played that because the kids are playing it and stuff. They're like, this is so hard. I'm like, let me show you how it's done. Get out of my way.
Out of the way, Brad.
Out of the way. She, look at that. Like, I passed three levels without having to die, you know, so did that. And then didn't really play much else. A little bit of Pokemon Go. Did a little bit of Unity yesterday while I was waiting for my son to do his programming class. And then that's pretty much it. Didn't get around to a lot of games, mainly just because when I was realizing that, you know, oh crap, you know, I'm missing all these edits, I had to go and create all that stuff, and that takes time to copy and paste all of the arrows and stuff. But I've got 8 new edits done, and I need to go. And actually, there's a couple that I have right now that are... I have a Dynamite Rave one that I think I created. I'm pretty sure I did that. And I have to go fix it. So I'll get a chance to maybe do that, hopefully, as long as... I did override my memory cards a few times, so I hope that the only copy I have isn't on the machine. That might be a problem. But we'll figure it out. So new edits coming soon. Just didn't get to stream as much as I wanted to this week, but
all right.
It was so good.
That happens. I played...
I'm sorry. One more thing. I posted it in chat, but I did put together... I've been eyeing this for a while now. So they have this Mega Constructs, because Mega Constructs is like a... Lego block type thing, and they have the rights to Pokemon, so they've got all the Pokemon sets. So there's been a giant Pikachu set I've wanted for a while now that's been like, it was like $60 at one time, so they had it half off just by chance. I was looking online at Target and they had it half off, so I picked it up and put it together. So I have this 13-inch tall Pikachu at my desk that creeps people out, and it's great.
Is it like this guy here?
Less
fluffy?
It's sort of. Yeah, it's less fluffy. It's basically, like I said, I posted a link in chat to my imager, but it kind of looks like, you know, come on.
Oh, it's
stupid.
I saw it for a split second before your phone flipped. Okay. Oh, that is kind of creepy.
Yeah, so
it's all like dis. Yeah, it looks like a Lego Pikachu, basically.
Yeah, it's like a Lego Pikachu, but it's really big. And it's pretty cool. All
right.
It's only $30 on Target. So go pick it up.
My gaming week. So I'm continuing to play MMOs. I played a little more World of Warcraft. I finally signed back into Final Fantasy 14 because even though I'm not completely happy with some of those things we talked about last week, I was kind of like, they did a big patch on Tuesday that finishes the story for Stormblood. So I'm like, all right, let me log in and finish the story.
It's not part of our show roll, but I saw a picture from PAX East where they were having a thing about trying to get people to... find their old accounts from Final Fantasy XI and come back to that.
Oh, interesting.
Which I thought was weird.
Huh.
So I was like, wait, where's Final Fantasy XI? Is it coming back? No?
Whatever happened to the mobile thing? Didn't they announce that
mobile? Yeah, where the hell is that mobile
11?
Game?
Although, be careful what you wish for. I don't know if it'll play very well, but they announced that like 6 years ago, it seems
Final
like.
Final Fantasy XI, if it... doesn't. It might not play well as well as Final Fantasy XI. That's a pretty low bar to hit.
Well, anyway, so I did play through the rest of the story in the 14 expansion, although there wasn't a lot to it. It was just like a couple of cutscenes, and one, I was kind of surprised at how little was left to go. But that's not really a read. I think I enjoyed Stormblood's story as a whole probably more than a lot of other people I've talked to. I think both expansions have a really strong story. And at the end of the day, it will make me play this Shadowbringers, but I'm unhappy with some of the other decisions they made for Shadowbringers. But I already talked about that last week, so I won't talk about it again. Played a little bit of Overwatch as well. And then I got into playing the mobile games. Pokemon Go had another event yesterday.
Oh, what was it yesterday?
Here we are again doing two events a month now. They did the research day.
Oh, that's what that was. Low-tad research.
Yeah, it was weird because it was like the low-tad research. And at the same time, you could catch shiny cast form. So it was like they had two things kind
of
going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I got one of those just... by accident, my
gotcha
picked one up.
Yeah, it's just...
cast forms are like...
Yeah, cast forms aren't the greatest, in my opinion, because they're not really useful in battle or anything, but I mean, it's a novelty thing. It's a dex filler.
And now I have a pink penis cast form instead of a white penis cast form.
Because for some reason, only the regular form cast form, which looks like a wiener, has the shiny. Like the sun that looks like a sunflower... doesn't have a shiny. It's only the regular form that had a shiny. It was weird. But anyway.
Why is it only like a few elements? They don't have like any...
They have a rain one and they have...
Snow.
I never got the snow one when I was in Tahoe.
So they do have those too?
Now that Shane is in Idaho, you have to ask him really nicely, although it might be... It's out of season now. I don't know when they'll have snow again.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Oh, because I've only gotten... Was it the sun and...
There's a snow one, but I
the water
think...
one.
Snow might also spawn in fog. I think that might be the way they got it so that other areas that wouldn't usually get snow could get it, I think. But don't quote me on that. But anyway, I heard a lot of people were complaining about the events because the shiny low-tad ratio was kind of crappy. I don't know. We walked around Capitol as we usually do during Community Day. We kind of looked at it more as like an exercise thing. And we walked around for a couple hours, and I caught two shiny low-tads, and I was like, that's enough for me. I'm kind of like, okay, the last community day was what? The gecko, the Treecko's?
Yeah.
I caught 11 of those things. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah, I need a shiny Treecko.
Great, you can have one because I have like 11 of them and I don't need more than three to have one of each. And that's it. Because shinies, it's not like they boost stats or anything like that. It's just
they're just pretty.
They're just pretty. That's all.
I did finally evolve my shiny Whalmer.
Oh, did you?
To whatever the heck it becomes.
The shiny Wailord.
Wailord.
Yeah, they're funny in gyms. Put them in gyms. They're funny. Anyway, that was pretty much it for my gaming week. So I don't have a lot of housekeeping to get into, except we won't be here Memorial Day weekend, but that's still a ways out. So otherwise, follow us.
I'm going to be at DragCon.
And I'm going to be in Chicago. So I'm actually going to a big Ingress event. I haven't talked about why I'm going to Chicago, but I'm going to what's called an Anomaly, one of their live events. So I'm going to that in Chicago. So it'll be fun. I'm excited. But anyway, you can always follow us on Twitter at OLR, and we're also on Facebook at Orange Lounge Radio. And, hey, pour one out, by the way, for the Fugle Question of the Week segment. Remember that? We used to do that segment a couple years ago. Well, even if we wanted to, we can't anymore because Google Plus, its last day is tomorrow. And that is not an April Fool's joke.
Oh, you know what was an April Fool's joke?
What?
Google Plus.
It's funny because, like, the only people I knew that used Google Plus were Ingress people because Ingress started.
So where did they move in that community?
Facebook, encouraging people to get on secure things like Slack, Telegram. I see a lot on Telegram, a lot more than I used to.
The Telegram's coming back.
Like what used to be on like Google Hangouts is all Telegram now. So that's kind of interesting. But anyway, pour one out for Google Plus because they're and that's not a joke. And by the way, There's like we're not lying about news or anything. I thought about doing something silly like flipping the picture upside down or something, but you know what? I'm over April Fool's Day. I already fell for one joke because even though it's the 31st here, it's the first overseas, and I'm over it. I'm so over April Fool's. It's the worst. Whoever thought of this day is a fool. In fact. Anyway, I would say the stream hiccups we've been having live that will ultimately impact the archive, unfortunately, as well. That is an April Fool's joke enough. All right. Anyhow, let's move on to gaming news. Loki, lots of stuff going on at PAX, right?
Yes. So lots of stuff at PAX. Of course, you know, the big announcement that we knew was coming was something Borderlands related. So Gearbox had a few announcements regarding Borderlands. So they kind of started things off by, well, first off, actually talking about some other games that they have coming out. So there's the whole, what was it? They had I don't remember, some crappy Duke Nukem thing. Bulletstorm, I'm sorry. Bulletstorm was coming to the Switch, which, cool. And they're going to have that also with, you know, the Duke Nukem DLC and stuff. So they're calling it the Duke of Switch Edition. They also showed off a little bit of their card game. They actually have a card game now that's coming out for Borderlands. Their remaster.
Everybody's trying to get in on that card game thing.
Well, I think it's a good place to announce it because, I mean, they have the whole board game, card game section for PAX, so that makes sense that they did that there. But yeah, a lot of people are just diversifying, so they have that. They announced the Borderlands Game of the Year Edition remaster that's going to be coming on April 3rd, and it's going to be the first time that Borderlands has been on Xbox One and PlayStation 4, and it's going to be, of course, remastered with some stuff that they features that they had in Borderlands 2. So, for example, they have you know, the mini map is going to be in there. They've got the code support as well for I don't remember what they call those now, but they had like certain codes that they have in Borderlands 2, so those are going to be supported now in Borderlands 1. Just some more quality of life stuff, so that's kind of cool. Plus, four-player co-op, which is going to be pretty awesome. And then, of course, Borderlands 2 is getting an even more remastered version, so they're kind of bumping. They're doing like an Ultra HD patch for Borderlands, the Handsome Collection, which is going to include, you know, new textures and everything for that. Also, Borderlands 2 VR, which has been released earlier, they're going to be putting out all of the DLC for free, and those are also going to be getting a visual bump as well. So that's coming. And, of course, for the Borderlands, I want to say the Game of the Year edition, or Borderlands 2, I believe if you have it on PC, they're going to be bumping up, giving you that Ultra HD patch as well, so you can expect that on PC.
I'm excited for the Borderlands 1 reimagining because, you know, I played like a little bit of that game, but I'd give it another shot in like more HD or and all these other, you know, upgrades we're talking about. Because I was really surprised they left that out of that Handsome Collection, which was, you know, 2 and the pre-sequel or whatever. And I was just like, why did they not put 1? Because then I could kind of like start here. But anyway, it sounds like they're fixing that now.
Yeah,
so
they're going to do all that stuff. So that's cool. And then, of course, on top of all that, the big announcement, of course, was Borderlands 3, which is all sorts of awesome. One thing that people were worried about, especially when they were talking about everything in like Battle Royale games, they assured us, no, it is not a Battle Royale game. It is just a straight-up Borderlands game. There's going to be a billion guns. They even showed guns with legs, which is hilarious. 4 new characters to play as, plus a lot of the returning people from the other 2 games, or 3 games, actually 4 games if you count the Telltale series. So lots of different returning characters. It looks amazing. So that's going to be coming out, I don't know when, but
I heard that whole reveal was kind of a hot mess at PAX, though.
Yes, it was a mess. They had issues
with...
That's
why I didn't watch it live.
Well, they had issues with the equipment there to view the trailer, so it was choppy as hell. So they finally got it working online, but I do recommend watch the trailer if you haven't gotten a chance to do it yet. But don't watch the actual presentation because it was a mess.
You knew it was going to be on YouTube. Right? You knew if they announced a Borderlands 3, there'd be a trailer on YouTube. That's how I approach a lot of these things.
Yeah, so it looks awesome. This is definitely a day one purchase for me, so I'm really looking forward to it. I can't wait for it to come out.
And even Renji221 in chat is saying, so are we going to talk about the difficulties they had with their videos during the stream? You know, I heard their projector at PAX couldn't handle 4K 60 frames a second, and that's kind of what went wrong, is that the equipment they had on site was not built for the more HD-er presentation that Gearbox was preparing. At least that's right. I read it on Twitter, so it must be true.
Yeah.
So, but it wouldn't... It wouldn't surprise me that, you know, maybe PAX had a 4K projector ready to go, but there was this 1080p projector that had more subscribers on YouTube, so they told the 4K projector, you know what, we're going to cancel your panel, and we're going to take on this 1080 one instead, and oh, by the way, even though you already booked a hotel room and have plans to be here, we can't get you a comp ticket, and there's no more tickets available to the public, so fuck you. I think that's how it went down.
That sounds about right.
That sounds, at least from what I know of PAX, that sounds like what could possibly be the case.
True professionalism.
Mm-hmm. April Fools. Anyway, moving on.
It says it'll be coming this fiscal year, so anytime between now and next April, so you have a year.
Okay.
That's your window is within this next year.
I would say it would seem to be it has to be a holiday thing, but I guess not anymore. Games don't really exist on that calendar anymore. That's another thing that's changed about our industry. Is like
just
you know,
give it
about
give
earlier.
It time, make sure it's right. But yeah. Well, what's also new about this one versus the other one is unlike the other games, which kind of took place on Pandora or the moon of Pandora, this one actually takes place on multiple planets. So there's a lot more diversity as far as the different places you get to go. And enemies that you encounter and stuff, so that's also pretty awesome.
Right. Well, I'm excited for the Borderlands fans. I mean, obviously, we've got this nice little poster a listener got us behind us here on Twitch. You can see it's actually autographed. Probably can't see that on Twitch, but one of our listeners picked that up for us, which is really cool. So Borderlands, and you know, there's a lot about Borderlands I want to like. It's just, you know, I just haven't really had the time to sit down, play it. And I'm more of a PC person when it comes to shooters because I need my mouse and keyboard. So, you know, anyway. I'm excited about the first one getting re-released. I'm probably going to start there and then take it from there. So look forward to that. Anyway, moving on to some other news going on around the industry. This wasn't at PAX per se, but this is a story that's lighting up the internet because apparently Monolith Soft is looking for artists and programmers, and designers and such to head up a new Zelda project. Now, nothing is confirmed at this point, but apparently there is a giant Zelda themed landing page. If you go to recruitment on Monolith Soft's website, you see this Zelda filled page. So, but here's the thing. I think a lot of people, there's a lot of like big jumps to conclusions people are making here. For one, on the internet. Anyway, for one, of course they're making a fucking Zelda game. Of course they're going to make another Zelda. Of course another Zelda. I mean, would Nintendo just decide, you know what? We're done with
Zelda.
Well,
they are making several
Zelda
games.
It's not like we're talking about F-Zero here.
I know. It's like, Zelda, you get three games. F-Zero. Zelda, you get more games.
F-Zero never
happened. Metroid, you get some more games, too.
F-Zero, you get Falcon Punch.
F-Zero, we're going to... You know what? There's these indie guys that are doing this Super HD racing game. I can't remember the name of it in the moment. What's the big game on Switch that they... Fast Neo. Neo Racing. That one. And no shade towards that game because it's great. But clearly Nintendo's like, oh, we got that. We don't need F-Zero.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the Mario Kart now. But anyway. Okay, so no
Mario, you're going to get more games. Yoshi, you're going to get a ton of games.
Yeah, right?
And Excite Truck. Anyways, we hate racing games is what they need to make basically say.
You know what? They just need to make a Zelda racing game.
And are you go. Mario Kart? No. Sorry.
Anyway. But here's the other thing. I think some of y'all forgot. So people are like, oh my gosh, is the next Zelda going to be like Xenoblade? Is that what's happening? Because like Monolith's doing, well, hold on. Monolith's hiring for positions that are related to the Zelda project. Y'all might have forgot. Monolith helped on Breath of the Wild, okay?
I'm like, dear people on the internet, calm thy tits.
Yeah, calm it. I mean, maybe they are doing a little more. It's not like Nintendo is unheard of to seek out third-party support. For example, what, Namco fucking lended a hand on Smash Brothers, right? Am I crazy on that?
I don't think you're crazy.
Yeah. So anyway.
Know what else they lended their hand on? F-Zero.
Yes, right, the arcade one.
Where's my F-Zero, Namco? Of course, they don't make racing games either, so, you know, I guess.
But here's the thing. Monolith did the maps, I believe. The landscape, the environment, I think, was a big thing that Monolith did. And based on how most of y'all felt about Breath of the Wild, myself included, I think we would like Monolith to keep doing that. They did a pretty fucking good job.
So
yeah, Monolith.
Was it them or Nintendo that came up with the weapon durability? Because...
The weapon durability is not a bad mechanic, okay?
It was a little much. Like, I just wish there was a way you could kind of, like, tone it down. So maybe things break a little less often.
You know what?
That's why you have to hurry up and get the fucking Master
Sword. I want
it
to tone down to zero, is what I want. I don't want it in there.
Yeah, it would be nice that maybe there's a mode where you can just turn off the
hardcore mode. Durability. Call it hardcore.
Oh, no, I'm thinking the opposite.
Already master mode.
I want Bobby Blackwolf BFF mode where nothing breaks. And you already know all the recipes and all that stuff. It's just, you just go out there and
you know what?
Adventure.
You don't have to know the recipes as long as you know the combination.
That's true. I have an internet. I can get
Dan
all the
got me a cookbook.
Oh, that's fun.
The Breath of the Wild cookbook.
Yeah.
It's not like a legit cookbook. It's just like in the in-game cookbook.
Miltonius Games in chat says, weapon durability stressed me out. Same. My heart rate definitely went up playing Zelda.
See, I liked some of the mechanics with the weapon durability. Because if you got
I loved Breath of the Wild, but it's just, if I could change one thing, that was the one thing where I'm like, okay.
If you got like a shitty little sword, you could use it as a projectile.
Yeah.
Or having, you know, the wooden weapons, if it was, you know, I thought it was a neat addition. I did, but that was
But you know what should not be changed ever? The fairies were fantastic. And the little...
And the horse fairy.
Who was the little... What were they called? The little mariachi things that would increase your health and stamina?
Oh, the... Yeah.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
the ones that you had to steal their poops.
Can you do that noise again?
Yeah. No, I have it. I actually have that as a sound tone on my phone.
Oh, really?
No, Koroks.
That's it.
And you had to collect their poop.
Yes.
You knew Korok seeds are Korok poops.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're poops.
All right, anyway.
And you get a giant turd out of it.
All right, well, what's I'm sure not going to be poop is another Zelda game, especially if Monolith is fulfilling a very similar role. You know, honestly, would anyone be disappointed if they just did, like, Breath of the Wild, like a very similar type of game, but like a new map and like a couple new mechanics, but basically it's Breath of the Wild 2. Would anyone really be disappointed if Nintendo put out that game? Because I don't think I would be.
You know what I would want, even though they said they're not going to do any more DLC for the game?
Huh.
I would want the world rebuilding mode, like almost sim-like, you know? Or just different quests and stuff, because, I mean, Zelda, poor Zelda, is coming back 100 years later after, you know, basically making Ganon her bitch. And then it's like, my house sucks. It's torn up. I don't know anybody in this world. We need to rebuild my kingdom here.
No. That's just ActRaiser at that point, then.
Exactly.
I'm okay with that, TBH. Let's see. VG Realness says they are 100% going to use that engine again. I agree.
Engine's amazing.
Dar Tetsuya says, I'm hearing it'll be Breath of the Wild 2, if not that exact name. No, it won't be the same name. Why would they do that now? They never do the same name. But, I mean, if you look at Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, I mean, was the engine really that different? I mean, sure, you had the big
moon. They were the same engine.
They were the same engine, and it played very similar. And that's kind of more what I'm talking about.
And Majora's Mask started off as a different game using that engine, as I recall correctly.
Oh, right. I think I'd heard that, too. It's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ninja Bunny in chat says, I didn't like Breath of the Wild at all. Ooh, she's different.
Aren't you
dissenting
special?
Opinion.
Dissenting opinion. No, I'm not trying to give you crap. There's always one in the room, right? But that's okay. You know what? Here's the thing. Everybody's got that controversial gaming opinion, hot take.
And people are entitled to be wrong.
Right. And mine is Zelda related, too. And mine is that Ocarina of Time is not what you all make it out to be. Is it a good game? Yes. Is it the game y'all hold it up as?
For a lot of people, though, it was their big thing. Like, for me, Dan will disagree, but I think Link to the Past is the best.
I would play Link to the Past any day of the week, but maybe that's a Gen X thing. I don't know. Or gamers of a certain
Link,
age.
Link Between everyone, Worlds,
Gen
though.
Gen X exists. I love that. Cater that to us.
All right. Anyway. Ninja Bunny in chat says, I'm a guy, Rob. Gender is merely a suggestion. Come on, it's 2019. Let's see.
Are you that insecure in your masculinity?
It was also a quote, but I don't expect everybody to know the quote that I gave there.
I'm also being silly.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, popular opinion, Super Metroid is not all that. See, everybody's got that one wrong-ass gaming opinion that they express once in a while.
And these people should just not express them. You know, it's like with a zit. You're not really supposed to express them.
Every gamer has a voice, Dark Sakura.
I know. I'm being that bitch tonight.
Just some of us have to scream a little louder. Okay. Anyway.
And some people just need to scream.
In all seriousness, let's move on to another story that's also retro-related stuff, right?
Oh, doth it be my turn to speak?
Yes, I think so.
Well, once again, we have another attempt at a little teeny Sega Genesis. In this case, it is going to be the basically like a Genesis Mini, I guess that's what they're calling it. Yeah. So it's going to have 40 classic games installed. I hate that they say fucking pre-installed because you're just fucking installing it. You're not like installing it before you're installing it.
But it's locked.
It's pre-installed because they're installed before you get the console and you can't install more on them, allegedly.
Allegedly, exactly. That's not going to last fucking long. But the other games that are included on there is, of course, Sonic the Hedgehog, Echo the Dolphin, Toe Jam and Earl. A few other ones on there is Castlevania Bloodlines, Space Harrier 2.
Sega's doing a retro collection, and Sonic is a part of it.
Can I finish reading my fucking article, Rob?
I guess.
Shining Forest, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, Comic Zone, Altered Beast, and Gunstar Heroes! Awesome! The one hope that I have for this is that it's actually Sega behind it and not outsourced like the last disastrous attempt. What?
Okay, because that's what I was actually going to bring up was that, wait a minute, we've had Genesis, well, they're not minis, but you know what I mean? We've had Genesis available at stores.
Genesis?
Genesis, Mega Drive. We've had, hey.
Genesis. I'll say
Genesis. Hey, Genesis. But we've had the Genesis stuff available at retail, the retro stuff, for quite some time now. I believe they have like a TV type and they have a on-the-go type. Mm-hmm. So what
you can buy one now for $25.
Those are probably all bargain basement right now because of this other news. But so this is special because Sega is like policing it, basically.
Sega better be the one releasing it.
But
I mean, like, fully behind all of the programming, because we've had some just shit emulation in the past.
But why does the controller only have 3 buttons, and why is it not the 6-button controller?
What? Because it says that they're wired.
If Street Fighter isn't on it, you don't need 6 buttons. That's probably not true. There's other 6-button games I'm not thinking of, but that's obviously the big one. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, as far as I know, it's in-house developed. Hell, I heard that Yuzo Koshiro is composing the menu music. Oh, shit, if that's true.
Well, then sign me the fuck up. 70 of them.
Right? Fucking love Yuzo Koshiro.
I mean, he did give us our Streets of Rage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. I mean, there would definitely be a precedent for him to be involved, but I did not hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
but anything what comes with it is the console, two wired controllers, a USB power adapter, a power cable, and an HDMI cable. So sweet.
Now, ActDeft in chat is pointing out the Mega Drive Mini in Japan is getting the 6-button controller.
Well, then I'm going to import mine instead. Now, you know, though, this actually goes kind of along with this, is that a few weeks ago, there was a survey that was put out about what would you want to see as far as merchandise and games. And the ones that they were listing on there were the Shining series, were Puyo Puyo, were a lot of those games that we're seeing on here, Gunstar Heroes, a lot of it, and so I wonder if that survey might have been related to this. I took it,
maybe
because I want all the Puyo Puyo. And what's funny is that I love that they listed it as Puyo Puyo and not as Puyo Pop or whatever the crap.
I wish the console port actually opened up, and I wish they had the expansion port on the bottom so we can get mini 32Xs and mini Sega CDs.
That would be kind of rad. But now the other thing about that survey is that they were talking about originally Japanese-only franchises.
Questbuster points out, I did that survey too, they were talking about some old properties like Panzer Dragoon.
Well, but the thing is that when they were putting the list of have you played these games in the series, they were going to Japanese-only ones. Like, they listed, I do want to say that they listed the PC Engine Puyo Puyo among them. Puyo Puyo Sun, which never came out over here. So it was fairly interesting. I think they're finally recognizing that there are importers who have been fans for a while.
Sia Tiberi in chat says, would you guys want a 32X Mini?
Yeah. Because, it had some of the best arcade ports.
I want a Saturn Mini.
Yes!
Or a Dreamcast Mini. I'll take either one. I'll take both.
I would.
Or either one.
Chances are I probably already have everything that I would want on both, but...
So none of y'all are mini systemed out? This Genesis thing sounds
appealing? Well, I didn't bother with the PlayStation Mini because the emulation was garbage.
I didn't bother with it either just because of the choices they
found
made.
Found NES Classics at Target a couple weeks ago.
Oh, really?
For full retail.
Pick those up while you can if you want one because they're not coming back.
I already have one.
Yeah, I've already got an SNES Classic that I packed the bits and...
I think that's why they're not coming back.
Zero.
Nintendo's not happy with how fast those got ripped open.
Legit, all you need is the old console and an EverDrive. The end.
I mean, if you're going to put data on those chips, you're going to be able to get data off of those chips.
And the other advantage to having, though, the Classic Series would be the HDMI support with no input lag. That's right.
Well, let's move on to another story. Loki, another blast from the past of sorts, right?
Yes, and this is kind of an odd one here, but apparently Dance Central is being ported to the Oculus Rift, and apparently the Oculus Quest as well. Why is so to keep it going? I don't know how that's going to work. I'm assuming that they're just going to track the arm motions using the controllers, kind of similar how, I guess, Just Dance does it with phones or... I guess it's all phones nowadays. They don't really use the Move controllers or Wii remotes or whatever the hell they have.
You mean the Move dildos?
Yep. So they're going to be porting that over. It says it's going to be exclusive on both of those platforms. This will be the first time it's been on another platform other than the Xbox. They haven't given any sort of specifics on what's going to be included with it, if it's going to include songs from the first three games or if it's just going to be the first game or whatever the hell it is. But it's interesting to see this. I'm curious to see how it's actually going to work, being that the game, I don't know, I guess you just see your avatar dancing or something, but it'll be interesting to see how this works. And also kind of curious to the fact that that they're going to port this to VR, but I'm surprised they didn't go the route of a Just Dance game where, it just has, since they're just using head, I would imagine not necessarily head tracking, but they're using just the arm tracking. So you could essentially do just a Just Dance game, but with Dance Central and port it to other systems. We'll have to see how it works, I guess.
Yeah, when I was reading about this, I was kind of thinking this sounds really cool, but I mean, like, if it was like PSVR, that thing is kind of like a beast to have on your head. And it's one thing if you're playing something like Beat Saber where, I don't know, my head is staying pretty stationary. Sure, I do the bobs up and down and things like that. But, like, from what I remember of Dance Central is that you were doing, like, real dances. And I just think, like, with that whole contraption.
It's pretty heavy, yeah.
But doesn't Oculus, and aren't they trying to, like, scale it back to, like, more, like, just, like goggles that you basically, like, strap on your face? Like, isn't that, like, what the Oculus Go and some
the
of the
Go is it's I don't know how light it is, but it's similar to I think
again I think it's one of those things that as technology advances, it's not like my complaint is not going to be valid anymore because they're not going to be that heavy.
But I think though, like for me, it would make more sense not to do it just VR because you would want to have it available to as many people as possible that are going to play these games, and I would think that the crowd that's doing Just Dance would want to get into that. I don't know how this is going to track any more accurately than it would with, unless I don't think the base stations can track your body movement aside from if you had sensors on your feet or something like that. But I don't know. I just think that it would work better if they didn't do it in VR, but we'll have to see. And then also, how's that going to look? Because, like, you know, Just Dance originally, or not even Just Dance, Dance Central, the whole point was like it was Kinect and you were just kind of doing it without any sort of sensors on you. And at least then that way you can record yourself doing it and actually look like you're dancing. But you're kind of look weird dancing with that giant VR headset on. I just think it's going to be weird unless you can do like some virtual camera with your avatar or whatever. But
guess you could pretend you're dancing like no one's watching.
I mean, I would like be super into this with like the control, like, and what you were kind of saying, the control mechanism and that whole thing, like with either the Move or the similar, and I don't know what the technical name is for on the Vive, has those sticks that you hold that, you know, kind of feel like a PlayStation Move, even though
dildos.
They're different. But, you know, like like I would be all for playing a dance game with that type of stuff that's come a long way since the Kinect and just the fact the technology's advanced. But yeah, I don't know about the whole like
or couldn't
headset
couldn't
part.
They like
I'll try it, but it just seems a little
or like.
I don't know.
Here's a question.
I have to see it to believe.
Like, because I don't really know if this.
I missed Dance Central was so fun.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the case, but like, you know, with we're talking like motion gaming and stuff like that. Is it possible to play one of these games that uses like the Vive controller without the Vive or without the Oculus Rift, just using the motion controllers and just playing a game on your PC monitor or something like that?
PlayStation can technically.
Couldn't we do it the other way around?
The Move was purpose.
I mean, I understand that there's some of those trackers like use the Inside Out tracking where it'll actually tracking using the headset, but the older stuff that uses the base stations.
Bobby's trying to explain some of this in chat. There's no more base stations with the Oculus Quest. Oculus Quest is now all Inside Out tracking. So Oculus Touch, not with the Oculus Quest, because the sensors are all in the headset. There are no more base stations. So it would depend on which piece of technology you're using, basically.
I guess. I don't know. I just think that they would have a better adoption rate with it being outside of VR. But I'm curious to see how this plays.
But also, Bobby's pointing out that Oculus is paying for the Dance Central game, and that's why it's exclusive. So it's not something that...
Are we not going to get Kinect Star Wars now? No dancing to the Han Solo or anything like that?
Maybe you can hope for a secret unlock or something in the game. I don't know.
No?
All right. Well, moving on. Let's talk about... It's everybody's favorite. It's a rumor, but... The Wall Street Journal's reporting on this one. So this is one of those rumors that's so loud it's got the attention of the traditional press. And in the case of the Wall Street Journal, a lot of investors and people that, you know, keep their eye on the money and such. So take it with a grain of salt. But I know for me, this isn't the first time I've heard this rumor. But
we've also thought of similar things.
Yes. So anyway, here it is. Wall Street Journal is saying that Nintendo is looking at doing two new Nintendo Switch models. And one of them could be this summer. Possibly timed around E3. I don't know. That's me making that up. But, I mean, it could be interesting if Nintendo were to say, you know, at E3, they're doing their Direct. We're looking at doing this new Nintendo Switch. And I don't think they could do the whole, it's in stores today. Because it's very hard to keep those kinds of secrets anymore, especially with physical things. But they could say, and it's going to be on shelves next Friday. You know, they could have that type of fast turnaround. Mm. Maybe. I'm fanboying a little bit here and making things up. But they could. Anyway. Apparently, one new Nintendo Switch model is going to be enhanced and more powerful than the Switch you have today. We're not talking like 4K graphics. We're not talking Xbox One X. We're not talking PlayStation 4 Plus. But it's just going to be more powerful than what we have today. So far, I'm a little worried because this reeks of new 3DS versus 3DS. And does this mean now we're going to segment the game market? I hope it's not that, but we'll see. I'll give Nintendo the benefit of the doubt. After all, this is a rumor.
The only thing I could see is maybe that it's a 1080p screen and they have something to push the graphics 1080p portable instead of just, you know, 720 portable, maybe.
I like that. Let's go with that. We'll go with that. More games in portable mode running like they were docked. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. But there's also going to be a second model. It's going to be cheaper because it's going to focus on the handheld mode, meaning I'm assuming to take this to mean there's not really going to be a dock. Nintendo is looking for this to be the successor to the 3DS. Finally. The 3DS may finally be done.
But I don't understand how they're going to make this any cheaper, though.
Well, you get rid of the dock. That's going to be part of it. And then just the fact that it's been a couple years, maybe it'll be a little smaller. You know, who knows? Maybe the touch. Maybe they'll eliminate the touch because not a lot of games really use it, to be fair. I'm making shit up. Nintendo will be the ones to answer this. But there's ways they could scale it back a little bit.
Okay.
But anyway, the Wall Street Journal reporter, and the name of the guy that's been talking about this on Wall Street is Takahashi Mochizuki, is saying that the different designs of these two Nintendo Switch systems are different from the original, and you'd be surprised. I'm not sure what to take that to mean. Perhaps the actual system may look different. Perhaps, you know what, Loki, maybe to save on cost, maybe the portable Switch, you can't take off the sides. Maybe those don't, like, it's just something that you can play attached to the screen.
That's going
to
suck.
Well, it's,
you know,
it's
why?
An option.
It's going to suck because if those Joy-Cons handle dirt and dust and whatever, like, the ones I have do, it's going to suck because they're going to break and then you're going to have a whole system to replace.
DJ Rama S says, Rob, stop hating on the 3DS. I'm not hating on the 3DS. The 3DS and the DS, therefore, have a one. It's so important for the history of portable gaming, and there's a library of amazing games on it that people should play. And if you never touch one, you'll be missing out on some very great experiences. That being said, Nintendo has a better portable system out now. It's been many years since the first DS, especially. But to be fair, even quite a few years since the original 3DS, it's time to move on. Like, I just can't think of any other console that's, like, lasted this long. It's just, I kind of think what Nintendo was doing is after they got burned a little bit with Wii U, they didn't want to put all their eggs in the Switch basket until the Switch was a bona fide success. Well, guess what, y'all? The Switch is a success.
The fides have been bona'd.
So, therefore, they can move on from the 3DS now and let its great legacy live on in our hearts and in our retro game collections. Is that hating on the 3DS?
No.
All right. I didn't think so. All right. Let's see. Other comments in chat. Bob Coffey says, I imagine Nintendo will announce a cheap portable only one for Pokemons. You know, that's a great observation. If there's any time to release like a mini Switch, it's because of Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're ding, ding, ding. Winner, winner, Pokemon dinner. Because, and which Pokemon is up to you. Because I it would seem like a given that you would have this bundled with Pokemon, like same day. Like if Nintendo, the mini one will be out with Pokemon. Bank on it. Let's see. ActDeft in chat says new Switch XL or something like that. Who knows? Who knows what the actual system will be called? Tiger Claw says the Switch is a success because it bridges the gap between handheld and console. And the fact that it's just got Nintendo's brand all over it, you know, and going back to like Zelda from earlier, like that's just not a game that exists anywhere else. There's things that try to emulate it and come, you know, I mean, certainly you can say, well, Breath of the Wild was inspired by Skyrim, but there's nothing like Breath of the Wild. They're just anywhere. There just isn't. Anyway. All right, let's move on. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us? A little more facts, things that are actually happening for sure.
Well, do we remember a particular game that never actually came out called Penn & Teller Smoke and Mirrors? I think that we do remember this one because that's what gave us Desert Fucking Bus.
I was going to say, Desert Bus and the basically the marathon, charity event, the drive that they do for that every year is because of Smoke and Mirrors, for sure.
Exactly. Well, it looks like Penn and Teller are getting back into the tie-in video game stuff. So they are going to, and whoever wrote this article that I'm reading it from clearly never knew about the Sega CD game and only knew about the Desert Bus Marathon.
These kids
so
today.
Whatever the fuck. Anyway, so they did announce at PAX East that Gearbox is going to be working with them to do an Oculus game. Oculus, the Vive, the PSVR headset that's going to be called Penn and Teller VR. Frankly, unfair, unkind, unnecessary, and underhanded.
I like that.
I do think the name is great. They only have a title and a release date, which I'm looking to see if they put the release date in the stupid article. But at any rate, it is going to be developed by Gearbox, so hopefully it will be better than Smoke and Mirrors was supposed to be. But yeah, the one thing that they have on here is that it's going to be released in June. They don't actually have the specific date on it. But this that name is great, and it's fun to say. Unfair, unkind, unnecessary, and underhanded.
Yeah, no, I like the name is great. I hope that Penn and Teller and the things that they do, I hope they don't use this as an excuse to make like VR make me sick on purpose type of thing.
Well, and
I hope it's controlled.
Well, and it was always my impression that at least Penn doesn't really care for video games that much. So the fact that they are licensing out to do a video game is a little bit beyond me. So maybe,
Do you know what he likes more than games? Money.
Yeah, but they're fairly successful.
No, they are. Show's been at the Rio for eons.
Well, on top of that, though, they also have, I don't know if they still have that TV show where it's like they try to fool the magicians. But, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty fun to watch. I like that they've actually been fooled a couple of times, but not often. But at any rate, you know, it's just very interesting. And I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot more commentary in this one, you know, down the line. So.
Now, I was going to say, I know you're not a big VR person because of the motion and, no. You know, some of the other things that you deal with. But if there is a I guess there already was. And I see Bobby saying in the chat, there already was a Desert Bus VR. But let's say it's a desert double decker bus VR. Would you give it a try?
No.
No.
Because I won't play a VR game.
It was worth a shot.
And
I'll play it. I'll try it.
I actually was trying to double check to see if I could find the quote. And it's back from 2012. Talking about how there is the video games for a little while. Here's the thing that I want. The cliche of the nerdy kid who doesn't go outside and just plays games is completely untrue. It's also true for the nerdy kid who studies comic books and turns them into Jesus. Basically saying that the obsession with video games can turn into a creative outlet and become a career or something that would make them a creative genius.
I'd be curious where their opinions are at all these years later now that video games are
just 2012, so it's not that long ago.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. So maybe I was wrong about the not liking games. I mean, maybe that was just like, you know, in the 90s, maybe that was the case and it changed in the aughts,
that's kind of more what I was getting at, is that maybe their opinions kind of come around as, you know,
people
now
change.
Everybody's got cell phones and more people play games because
of
cell phones.
Weird Al. We've all got cell phones, so come on, let's get real.
Bobby wants to point out, though, Gearbox made it, and Penn would never allow them to make a game where it makes you sick. Fair enough. They trust Randy Pitchford, who is also a magician. So,
yeah.
I thought I heard he put on a magic show at PAX or something.
He did.
It's fun. Bobby also watches that show and said they did get fooled every episode. Here's the thing. Those shows are edited in a way. They probably shoot like 20 of those guys and gals every day, and then they shuffle them in a way so that every episode
granted
has
I don't really watch the full episodes. I've just watched a bunch of it on YouTube because I hate watching sitting down for a whole episode of something.
And I might be wrong, wasn't it on some obscure cable network? I could be wrong. Thought it was like
I
only saw it on YouTube ever too.
I just pull up a bunch of YouTubes of like, you know, different acts within it and try to watch them. So maybe I just don't have. I hate sitting down and just focusing on a TV episode. I mean, I will only do that for just like things that I am super fangirl about.
It was on the CW apparently, which that is an obscure broadcast network. I'm sorry.
Speaking of CW,
the only thing I know about on CW is Supernatural, and DC stuff.
Well, the DC stuff is, DC is garbage.
So. Oh, and Top Model.
I do not watch any DC shows. But Supernatural is going to be on its last season.
Yeah, I heard.
Finally, I mean, I love the show, but I stopped watching after like season 10. And then I've gone back and tried to like watch again. But it was supposed to end after season 5. That was the end of the original story.
Uh-huh.
Spoiler, Sam goes to hell. That's the end of the season. But
I think that's how Buffy season 5 ended too, sort of.
Well, no. In season 6, she died.
Yeah.
And then they did a season 7, which was garbage. I mean, it was okay. I mean, there's some big stuff that went, but it wasn't a great season.
Now, Pod Culture in chat says, don't be ragging on DC. I know some people that are really... like,
you are welcome to enjoy terrible story writing.
Pod Culture, and I know the Critical Myth gang are like into those shows. Like, it's
good for them. I'm just waiting for Disney to get their shit together, and, you know, and I'm also waiting for season 3 of Jessica Jones.
But that's going to take Disney getting their shit together, right? Because there's no more Netflix Disney thing,
but
right?
Disney's going to do their own thing.
Mm. Will they still have Kristen Ritter and all that? Or are they gonna...
I hope she was good. But, you know, it's funny, though. I finally picked up a Captain Marvel pop, but I'm calling them comic besties because they are besties in the comics. So that makes me happy. Right. I have my comic besties.
All right. Let's move on. Just a few more stories for you guys before we get to the classic game of the week. But first, Loki.
All right. So I actually did get to check this out because I almost forgot that it was even on. But Sony, you may remember, was doing their State of Play, which is kind of like their Nintendo Direct thing. And so they actually did show off quite a few different games that are going to be coming out for the PlayStation. Actually, a lot for the PlayStation VR as well. So kind of run down some of the stuff that they showed. Concrete Genie, which is a pretty cool looking game. They have that coming out now with VR support as well. They showed a trailer for Marvel's Iron Man VR, which my kids are definitely all over. More gameplay of Days Gone, which still doesn't have a fucking release date.
I thought that was supposed to be out by now.
Well, it's not. Blood and Truth, which is a... it looks like almost like a spin-off of the game that they had in PlayStation Worlds, where you kind of play like the mobsters and stuff, but it's another VR game. Ready Set Heroes looked pretty cool. They had Observation, which is a game that came out on Oculus Quest. Now it's coming to PlayStation VR. They were showing off... they're going to have retro skins for Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, so the old school polygon stuff that's going to be in there.
Oh, that's
well.
Silly. I like that.
Yeah, so they have those.
That's a good kind of silly.
They showed off a new trailer for Mortal Kombat 11.
I can't believe that game is only like 3 weeks away. I feel like I just heard it was coming. I got to say, with as much as, you know, my opinion on the Mortal Kombat franchise and all, that it's too much for me. But I got to say, they did that launch pretty well. It's like they announced it, and then like 2 months later, it's here.
You may remember No Man's Sky's got the new Beyond expansion that's going to be coming out, which is that brand new thing. But they also have a new patch that's going to be coming out soon that's for PlayStation VR as well. So you'll be able to play that game in that.
That's kind of rad. Like I don't know how often I would like really use that, but I think it would be fun a couple of times to just explore the worlds in VR, kind of get my fill of that, and that would be cool. I think I did hear though that same patch is going to hit the PC and the relevant VR platforms on PC too.
Yeah, so that'd be cool. And then definitely another one you'll have fun with, Rob, is Five Nights at Freddy's VR Help Wanted.
Hell no.
Is gonna be coming out
hell
as well.
No. I it's a great thing for the franchise. Is it the same guy doing it, but now he's doing a VR game?
Yes, and my son totally wants to play that as well, so that'll be...
I hope y'all have fun.
That'll be fun.
I hope y'all have... I feel about that the way Jamie does about the DC stuff.
I didn't see it in
more
here
power to
on
you.
This list, but I think that they announced also Dreams is going to have that beta test for Dreams as well. I think... I don't remember if that was part of this presentation or not, but yeah, lots of things coming out. Oh, and then they also showed Vacation Simulator again, and they announced the release date for that because I know I'm looking forward to that one. That's June 18th. So, yeah, lots of stuff. I think we only touched on some of the things that were in there, but it was a decent presentation. I hope they do more of them.
SSGO 100 Matt says, how many biddies to get Rob to play Five Nights at Freddy's VR? I would only do it for charity. I wouldn't do it for and as much as Bobby's going to grit his teeth. No, but I think he'll agree. Charity. I would only do it for charity. I wouldn't do it for our own pockets. So I would stream it here to get, but I'll only do it for charity. I haven't thought of a number yet. We'll see. I just, oh my God. I'm like getting scared just thinking about it. Those games, the jump scares in those games are horrible. I can't even imagine like looking to the and right the, and one of and those have, creatures is
they have
there.
Additional things that you do, like repairing them and stuff. Like why
I'm
would
getting
you
a
want
headache just thinking about it. Anyway, let's see. Yeah, Shane's in chat saying, I told Robbie needs to play it the moment it got announced. So, and Sia Tiberi says, who's charity and why will you play it for her but not for us? Oh, you. All right. Anyway, what did you think of the event itself? I heard it kind of got kind of a tepid.
It was okay.
It just kind of seemed like it was just like trailer dump.
Yeah.
But I do like, and even though I saw some comments in chat like, wow, it was a lot of VR. I'm kind of glad that Sony is supporting this hardware that they put out. And like, I'm okay with them, like maybe so that they don't feel like they have to do this around E3 time. Maybe now, yes, I know Sony's not doing E3, but still, maybe Sony's kind of like putting this information out there now. So it's like, oh, hey, look at all this stuff that's coming on VR. You got a reason to own one. We're still supporting it. And I can appreciate that. So, you know, even if I'm not into the Five Nights at Freddy's thing, yes, I am into the No Man's Sky
thing.
Doesn't
mean they're not
going to
have like some sort of announcements around E3.
Well, yeah, they'll do something, but it might just be in this format because more and more want to do a direct style, like they want to do these. And Microsoft has their Inside Xbox that they just had one like last week. So
yeah,
you know. Anyway, there was another comment in chat here I wanted to read. Oh, Spyro557 Jonathan in chat talking about the Crash Team Racing. Oh, by the way, the low-poly skins are a PlayStation 4 exclusive, so you don't get them on Xbox or Switch. And maybe that ties into the fact that, you know, those games were PlayStation games. There wasn't those same platforms didn't exist back then, so maybe it's kind of a special thing for Sony because Sony was the original home of those games. So, all right. Well, let's move on, and I think I've got one more story here before we get to the classic game of the week, and this one is about, you know, and I've talked earlier in the show about how I really think subscription services are kind of the wave of the future, and another company throwing their hat in the ring this week. Apple did a big thing earlier this week, and of course, you know, Apple does phones and watches, but this week was a very different type of event because, and you know, folks were anticipating this. It was supposed to be about TV and what they're going to be doing for the Apple TV and their own type of Netflix / Hulu / you know, that whole warehouse competitor. And so here comes Oprah, here comes Spielberg, who just hated on Netflix like a couple weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken. But whatever. Okay,
because he's probably getting paid by Apple, so you know.
Somebody showed him money, and now he's on board. But anyway, it sounds like they've got some neat things, but that's not games. I mean, and then there was the whole credit card thing, which I was like, I guess, because Apple Pay. But anyway, that's not the game part. The game part is they announced Apple Arcade, which will be a premium subscription service for Apple devices. So I think many people kind of figured this was coming. We've heard these rumors about Apple for quite some time. iPhone, iPad, Apple computers, meaning like Macs, right? And Mac minis, things like that, everything in the Apple family, and Apple TV are all part of Apple Arcade. And so that kind of, I was only expecting the phones and the iPads. I didn't think, but it makes a lot of sense. Of course, Macs the computers will be in there too.
What's available in the service though?
Well, they're going to be getting games. We didn't get a lot of details on like exactly the games, but we do know the talent, and they've got some big talent. So just like they brought out Oprah and they brought out Spielberg, Sega, Konami, we'll let it slide. Mistwalker, which for me, that's the big Mistwalker. That's like fucking Lost Odyssey, okay? Mistwalker's a big deal. Mistwalker is the studio that was founded by Final Fantasy Hironobu Sakaguchi. So I think they kind of threw a lot of companies out there hoping something will stick with somebody, and that's the one that stuck with me, was Mistwalker. I was like, oh, shit. So the next Mistwalker game is going to be something on my phone. But then I also thought, oh, but no, it's going to be on Macs as well. Because there's that part of me that's like, but I like the stuff I like to play on the phone was built for the phone. Like Ingress, Pokemon Go, those were built for phones, right?
Yeah.
It's not a lot. Although, I don't know, like Super Hexagon, that's kind of fun on phone. But I don't play a lot. You know, and it has to be, but the fact that it's on Mac, now I'm like, okay. I mean, the only Mac we have is the one that's dedicated to the video for this. But assuming I took that plunge in the future or something.
I've got two in my house.
Well, okay.
And I actually just downloaded a game for mine.
Right. And, you know, for all the talk of LOL games on Mac, in my opinion, the biggest news out of this Apple thing is, oh, LOL, yes, we're bringing games to Mac. Konami, Sega, Mistwalker. God, what were all these logos on the screen? Devolver Digital, Disney, the Chinese Room, which I thought they folded, but I guess not.
Right, it's probably their catalog titles.
I don't think it is. I because there was something else I read that said, no, the Chinese Room, like those guys are now a part of a different studio, but they're using that brand on their newest project. And the reason why I specifically call out Chinese Room, that was Everybody's Gone to the Rapture and Dear Esther.
So good.
Which I loved those games. So when I saw their logo pop up, I was like, I guess I could see that on a phone, but I'd rather play it on a TV.
I am super skeptical, but okay.
Yeah. But anyway, we don't know when. We don't know. Oh, here's the other bit. Will Wright is another big name they've got on the service. So, I mean, attracting the talent, not an issue. But there are still quite a few gaps in this, such as when and how much. And those
and are, what?
And well, yeah, and the conclusion of what specifically.
Exactly.
And those are all fair questions to ask, but I imagine we'll find out a little closer to when they're really ready to roll this out. So who knows? But again, I think this is kind of where gaming is going anyway. And I kind of think the big news out of this isn't really the phones, although certainly that'll be the big user of this, don't get me wrong. But I think this is Apple's own way to kind of be like, guess what? Since people have no problem developing for phones, we're going to bring a lot of that to the Mac, too. And not to say they're not already doing that. They have been doing that. But I think the fact that it's going to be like this in bulk, in one fell swoop, so to speak, I think I think is kind of the biggest, most newsworthy thing out of it. But, you know, your mileage may vary. So anyway, thank you. Questbuster. I knew it was a studio that – so Questbuster said Sumo Digital bought what was left of the Chinese Room, because Chinese Room laid off – almost all of their staff, except the people that founded it, were still. So Sumo got those guys on board, and so whatever they're developing will probably be different now.
All right, well, let's just
gone,
see. But like, I'm so highly skeptical. Without any sort of like, here's what exactly we're releasing. Like, here's the talent we have. That's cool, but I need to see what it is and how much it is and all that stuff.
A system is only as good as the games that are on it, right?
Or a service.
Why not? Can the golden rule of gaming apply to services as well? I would say sure. Because I think before too long, services are all that's going to be there.
No, it's not.
I really do. All right. Bobby wants to point out, though, in chat, at least it's not streaming. So that is a good point. This is very different from Stadia because Apple's not streaming these things. It's more of a Game Pass, if you will. You're going to log in, download it. And although you might think like, you know, oh my God, bandwidth caps and things of that nature, these games have not, I don't think we're looking at any 60 gig phone games, maybe 2 gigs, but it's just going to be a different kind of currency here, I suppose. So that could make it very interesting. We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, that's it for now. Let's go back to a classic time when you didn't have all these newfangled services, the Googles and the Apples participating in gaming. It was Nintendo, Sega, and Sony at some point, the classics. So it's the classic game of the week. Darksoccer is going to jump into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be showing this game a little respect if you can. This one might be a little harder for people to find, right?
I bought this in a bargain basement import at, remember Game Masters?
Oh, yeah.
I bought it from there.
Right.
Dirt fucking cheap.
So tell us already, what is the classic game of the week?
The game is Panzer Bandit. It came out for PlayStation in 1997, published by Ben Presto, and developed by Phil In Cafe. Panzer Bandit is a fun little just beat-em-up brawler game. It uses the same engine as Mad Stalker Full Metal Force. And by the way, actually, it did get a PSN release in 2011, only in Japan, of course. But we have ways of making that happen. But anyway, the way that you control the game, first of all, is you have two attack buttons, a strong and weak, your directional pad for moving around, crouching, jumping. And then you have your shoulder buttons to change between foreground and background, and can be used to activate your special attack. So that was one thing I thought was kind of neat, that for a brawler, it kind of has that Fatal Fury kind of vibe with the two layers. And then another thing for the game that's a little bit unique is that if you stand still during an attack, it's guarding. You also have a combo counter and an elemental attack that will launch an enemy off the screen. So it's just a neat, fun little game, but basically, it's a game that I'm actually surprised never did come out over here just for how fun it was. And it was, as far as I remember, a little bit of a budget title when it came out. But, and as we all know, Banpresto was one of the arms of Bandai. So, I mean, they also, the company is also responsible for giving us, Super Robot Tyson, Super Robot Wars. So, but I mean, the game, it's a little obscure. I mean, not many people have heard of it, but when I played it for the first time, I just was enraptured with it. It was so much fun. And so, you know, there's not really a lot to say about it. It's just a beat 'em up. Oh, another thing about it is you have 12 characters that you can play, 4 story characters and 8 unlockable bosses. So there you go. It's just fun. Classic fun. Brawling.
Sometimes you need a good beat 'em up, and darn it, you've just played the shit out of Ninja Turtles and Simpsons.
Yeah.
It's time for something new.
I'd tell anybody, if you can find this game or you get access to the Japanese PSN, definitely own this one. It is super duper fun.
Actually, some folks in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork are saying some good things about it. Dartatsuya says getting a Guardian Heroes vibe. Orange Wright saying kind of looks like Guardian Heroes.
Yeah.
ActDev says this game looks great. Questbuster says it looks like a lot of fun. Love me a good beat 'em up.
It's ridiculously fun. And Kaijudo says that the kid is biting off Sonic's look. No, this different art style. I mean,
I see where he's going. It's the blue spiky hair. Yeah. If they did make Sonic human in the movie, it might have looked like that.
Yeah, but all, you know, lead video game characters in the late 90s had that whole
true
extra big. Well, I mean, look at like just any of the characters from that had a sort of sci-fi universe alien thing. That's just the aesthetic. But I mean, clearly, lots of fun and screaming and blowing up cute robot enemies. And the art style is fun and it's just 2D brawling delightfulness. So acquire it, however you might need to acquire it.
All right.
Look, we have a boss battle coming up. Dialogue!
Yeah, I noticed the beginning of the game had a really long kind of cutscene, so I chose the video tonight kind of to start at the actual game. So I wanted we don't always have 10 minutes of discussion on the classic
but
game.
In the video, so though, you see the plane jumping too, like like Kao is describing in Fatal Fury. Mm-hmm. That's a really fun just added feature in the game. I mean, I don't like it in Fatal Fury, oddly enough, but I loved it in this game. So there you go, Panzer Bandit.
Panzer Bandit. There you go. Classic game of the week. Sorry, guys. I got to take it off the shot now. So those of you that are watching on Twitch, you'll just have to go find that game for yourself. Play a little more. Maybe somebody will stream it on Twitch. Maybe Dark Sakura, after they beat Super Mario World.
Oh, fuck. I don't even know.
Might take a run on this. I thought you had this.
Well, no, I do, but I don't know where the PlayStation our HDMI output
is. A fair question. Where do I find the hardware to play it on these days?
Well, no shit. We've got something like 6 PlayStations.
Well, I think it's on the PlayStation Network, so you could just...
Japanese.
Oh.
And I'm not going to bother making a Japanese account.
You could get the old school capture device, like the one you used to have.
I have his old capture device. But we agreed that we were going to do Super Mario World.
In the future. In the future.
Down the line someday.
Down the line. All right.
Maybe I'll just put up a bunch of PlayStation games and say, yo guys, pick one.
Educate the children on some of these obscure titles. They know Mario World. And that game's fun. I'm not saying don't stream that, because that game's a lot of fun. And especially watching you and Dan both is going to be a hoot and holler.
Well, because I'm just going to tell him he's a jerk. But I love my jerk husband.
Right. Speaking of retro stuff, I'm, you know, those of you that have followed me for a long time, first, thanks for putting up with my bullshit for all these years. But second, you might remember that when I was trying to do the YouTube thing, I started this little series called Let's Remember. And I was doing, like, it's kind of like Let's Plays, but I would put in, like, a lot of facts in there. Like,
you're like our pop-up video.
Yes. Oh my God, that's a great way to describe it. It was like pop-up video, but for games. So I think I want to bring that back, you guys. Not necessarily on my YouTube, but if only there was a video platform that we're using more and more often these days. I'm just curious what y'all in chat think about that. Is that something you'd be into? You might want to watch, check it out. Because here's the thing.
We should do something like that.
Do you know, I'm going to
tell... For a podcast.
I'm going to tell you the moment I knew I needed to do this and bring this back. You know, because it was last week. It was 7 days ago. Do you know when? When I brought up the game Star Tropics. And so many of you were like, never played it. Don't know much about it. I was like, oh, we got to fix this. So... You can blame Star Tropics for all of this. So, all right. Oh, and thanks, Sarah. Oh, we got some good comments in chat. Thank you, guys. I swear I wasn't fishing for compliments. I swear. All right. but I think I will fish over to the other studio. We're going to do a little break tonight. I did a few minutes of play of Crypt of the NecroDancer, which ties in a little bit more maybe to last week's news, but you're still all talking about it this week. It's that Zelda game, the Cadence of Hyrule, that is basically this, but with the Zelda skin. Mm-hmm. But then I found a lot of you guys, because maybe you don't follow music games so much, maybe you don't know what Crypt of the NecroDancer is, but you really want to play this new Cadence of Hyrule. So I thought, let's take a look. So now we can all know, what is Crypt of the NecroDancer?
Okay, hello everybody. It's Rob in the other room, the other studio. And I thought for our break tonight, we could take a look at this game. Now, it's a little bit older, but a lot of people are still talking about it this week, or you know, these past couple weeks, ever since that Nindies Direct. The game we're looking at today is called Crypt of the NecroDancer. And like I mentioned, it is a little bit older, but you know, just a couple years old. And today I'm looking at it on Steam. But I know I've played this game quite a bit on the PlayStation 4. It might have been one of those PS Plus games at one point. I can't remember. I know it's also on the Switch, which is probably part of the reason why it's one in the Nindies collection. And it's on Xbox One as well. Yeah, it's pretty much, you know, if it plays games, this game was probably ported to it at some point. And, you know, since Orange Lounge Radio is rooted in music-based games, such as, you know, DDR and the community where we really got our start, there was obviously a lot that was very appealing about Crypt of the NecroDancer, being that it was like, oh, it's a roguelike, but it's also kind of a music game, a little twist to it. So I thought we'd take a look at it, because with the Nindies announcement in the past couple weeks, that Cadence of Hyrule is on its way out, which is basically, at least as far as you can tell, this game, but with a Zelda skin, I find there's a lot of people that don't necessarily know a lot about this game, but are suddenly interested because of the Zelda tie-in. It's like, you know, maybe I don't play a lot of music games, but I'm going to play every Zelda game, so I'm going to play that. So anyway, I prefer to use my keyboard in this game, so you might hear a little bit of clacking because I do use a mechanical keyboard. But, you know, in this area, you can move around. You'll notice I'm just moving around however I want. I'm not tied down to the music or what have you. So you're kind of free to do what you want to do in these modes. But this is kind of like your central hub where you can go buy permanent upgrades, which is very typical of a roguelike. It's funny because, you know, the design of this game actually kind of looks like the old game Rogue, which is where that term roguelike comes from. If you've never seen it, you know, from way, way back in the day, it was a randomly generated dungeon that kind of, you know, looked like this a little bit. So you can see in this hub, there's various things you can do. There's, you know, training modes you can do, permanent upgrades. You can take away upgrades that maybe wouldn't be useful and so forth. You'll notice that the game will allow you to play with a dance pad if you want. I guess a little more forgiving. There's a tutorial as well if you forget what to do. And there's other characters you can play as well. Although, again, since I made a little more progress on PS4 than I did on Steam, I don't really have a lot that I can play with right now. So we'll just go ahead and keep Cadence, which is what I'm going to keep right now. Although it may change. Like, I believe if I pick one of these other characters, yeah, it may be like the Bard. No beats. You can move at any time. And enemies can move after you. So this is like the Bobby Blackwolf mode where, and if you're bad at music games, it's going to slow it down a little bit. And so you don't have to worry about hitting everything on the beat. So that might be helpful for some people. Oops, I didn't actually want to switch to him. I'm okay with a little bit of a challenge, because without challenge, I won't screw up. So anyway, all right, I've been gabbing for a few minutes. Let me actually show the game. So we're going to go into zone one, and you'll notice there's that little meter at the bottom, and you have to move in time, because if I don't move, see, I get all these missed, beats skipped, I get little deductions in, you know, my coin streak might break, or other types of deductions. So I just picked up a whip that's going to let me have a wider attack, and that's good. That'll allow me to kill those enemies a little easier. Because you'll notice they kind of move like you do. So I'm kind of strategically... I noticed the length with the whip allows me to hit these monsters. Oh, that's what happens when I try to talk and play. I skipped a beat. I like that the shopkeeper sings. So if I had like one more coin, I could get an empty heart container. But I'm one coin short, unfortunately. Now I believe I have until the length of the song to get through this level, or there's like bad penalties or something. So there's a little gem, and gems are the things that you can use to buy those permanent upgrades. I don't remember what the bomb switch does. It's probably not good, but let's see. Oh. Now, it kind of made a little, like, dent in the wall. And you can't... What's the barrel do? Oh. So if you get certain items, you can try to... Yeah, I lost my multiplier because I ran into a wall. But you can dig through the wall with certain items. And you might find, like, secret rooms. So there's a treasure chest. Okay, vision radius. That would be helpful in trying to maybe locate hidden rooms. This dragon looks very scary. I died because I didn't have enough health to take on that dragon. That was a lot of monsters in that room. Yikes. So, and then it gives you a little recap. I got 46 coins, but LOL, you died. So I got to go back to start. And the whole process begins again. But because I picked up that one gem, I don't know if one will be enough, yeah, to get these permanent upgrades. Like, I could get a permanent heart container if I had two gems, but I don't. I only got the one because I did kind of crappy. I ran into a hard boss, though. Yeah, there's nothing available for one gem there. And let's see. So, riches I could buy for one gem. Sure, why not? So that'll be something that will now show up in chests. And when I do another run through, as is again kind of typical of where the roguelikes are at these days, is that you play a lot of random generated. You know, if you play things like Rogue Legacy or you know, other popular roguelikes, you kind of go through the same type of random generated thing over and over again. But the only way you really start to really make progress with that is that you're buying these permanent upgrades that therefore help you. And in the case of, you know, Crypt of the Necrodancer, you even have D-grades that will, you know, take things out of chests where maybe it makes it so you have a higher chance of getting something you really want, because, you know, chests could have really anything in them. So let's see if I can do a little better maybe one more time. Try to get moving a little sooner here, a little less talking. Now, again, I'm not going to have those same items before, so I don't have that whip. So I'm trapping monsters in this hallway to try to get hit two keys at the same time. At least I got a gem. Yeah, these things are making quick work of me. I've got to be able... Instead of, like, trying to run face first into them, you really want to kind of, like, strategically attack them from angles and stuff. Like I just did with that guy. Okay, so now I got that vision radius item again. This must be a shop. I have an apple for health, maybe? Sure, I'll take it. I need that. And you'll notice that you use different combinations of keystrokes to use items. Yikes, that was almost a bad situation. Ooh, wait, no, I want that. That says something about low health. Yeah, something's screaming down here. Oh, it's this gold bat. Now, what else is interesting about this game is that they actually added it to Steam Workshop. So if you actually look on Steam Workshop, there's already, like, Zelda-type mods available for it. Like, obviously, people have skinned in some of their Nintendo favorites already into this game. And I did it. I got to floor 2. So now we get a different song that we can dance to. I'm sure some of you watching out there are far better than I am at this game. But again, we're just trying to help those who maybe haven't seen this before get a look. So now I'm up to 2 gems. So it's much more... What the hell's that thing? Much more likely to be able to buy something in the lobby when I inevitably die in this one. Let's see. Oh, that guy was kind of caught on that spring and kept moving up. Turn out the lights. I don't want to do that. Hopefully the soundtrack's coming through pretty good. I know a lot of people are pretty into the soundtrack in this game, and I think they do crossovers. Oh, boo. I couldn't kill that thing. Must be one of those things where it only... It's like a boo. Ooh, I'm stuck this way now. Those arrows are kind of... Oh, boo. I lost my coin multiplier because I needed a key that I didn't have. So, yeah, if you can imagine this, but, like, to dancey Zelda songs and stuff, that's probably going to be... Uh-oh. There's that dragon that got me last time. Ah, much better that time. See, I just had to get him to follow me a little bit. That's all there was to it. All right. Well, that's all there is to this little look here at Crypt of the NecroDancer for tonight. We've been going for about 10 minutes. I want to throw it back to the studio. But there you go. A little look at what that game is all about. And if you haven't played it, again, it's available on a lot of different platforms. And you can check out the sweet soundtrack, which incorporates popular songs from other franchises as well. I don't remember if I had said that. And yeah, you can see even in this menu, there's a way you can like play mods, make your own mods and so forth. So especially on Steam and the platforms that support it, there's, you know, all sorts of ways you can tweak this game and get a real sneak preview at what Cadence of Hyrule might look like. But in the meantime, I know I'm looking forward to Cadence of Hyrule, and I'm sure many of you are as well. So there you go. Little look at Crypt of the NecroDancer. We're going to go back to the studio live.
Thank you, me. For that little look at Crypt of the NecroDancer. Darksoccer, I saw you kind of looking at the game. Had you played that game before at all? Or is that kind of the first time you saw it?
I have it, and I haven't played it. I tried it a little bit. I just wasn't too interested in it.
Eh, it's fun, but I understand the whole roguelike element and the random levels sometimes is not. And like I was really surprised with how little I could remember of that game, mm-hmm. even though I played it pretty heavy a year or two ago, but like when I was fighting that dragon, I was like, oh crap, I forget like how you have to fight some of these monsters. You kind of like have to remember how to do that. But I think it's such a strong indie title. But it's also funny watching back the video because I didn't realize like how loud the clacking was. I knew that would happen, which is why I said in the video, you're going to hear me typing, which is good for the podcast because you can hear me clicking in time with the music or not. But it was just kind of funny the way that all turned out. So there you go. As a reminder, we're looking for more of our folks out there to submit some breaks for us, or folks in studio,
I know,
possibly, to do that too. But man, PAX East being this weekend was a great opportunity. I was hoping to see some video from PAX East, but I understand y'all were having a time at PAX East, so it's all good. So. But if you are interested in creating a segment here for Orange Lounge Radio, you can just reach out to us on Twitter at OLR or myself personally, I don't care, at Mr. Rob Roberts. That's MR Rob Roberts over on Twitter. Or, you know, there's a million ways to find us. It's very easy. Just an email. Send me an email, rob@vognetwork.com, and that's fine too. So anyway, let's get back into some more gaming news. Actually, quickly before we do that, I remember Jamie, you kind of want to make this a regular thing where at this point of the show, you do like a podcast shout out because we want to help our frenzies and things that do podcasts.
Well, and I've been putting out for suggestions and haven't really gotten many. I'm going to save anything that I get for next week. But in this one, I normally like to do the independent ones, but this is one that has been a mainstay of my favorites for quite some time from when they were vaguely independent on into corporate sponsorship and whatnot. But it's called Stuff You Missed in History Class. It's by How Stuff Works. And I love these podcasts. They basically take different events or people or different things in history, compile from different sources, and try to give a very clear... My favorite ones are the ones where they do like unexplained events or things that... Like the Lizzie Borden trial, where, you know, she was considered innocent, but people said all these different accounts, and they try to put the accounts together to see what is, you know, the real outcome. Right now I'm listening to one about Charles Adams of the Adams family. I did not know he was such a playboy and had two wives named Barbara.
Somebody in our Discord posted a movie poster. I guess they're doing a new Addams Family movie, but it's animated this time.
Mm. Yes,
so
I've seen that.
Needs more Debbie Jelinski. That's all I'm saying.
But she officially died.
Bring her back. We didn't see a severed head.
At any rate. Stuff you missed in history class, definitely worthwhile. Not just if you love history, but, you know, learn something. It's a really, really, really good podcast.
Learn something, damn it.
And I love listening to the two ladies who are on it. So they're a lot of fun.
Speaking of podcasts you should be listening to, just a reminder that VOG Network is more than what we do here on Twitch. We have some great audio-only podcasts that we work with. You can look up more information at over at vognetwork.com. And one I would particularly give a shout-out to tonight would be Electric Sisterhood, just because I know they are in Boston. I saw pictures of Ninja Sister all over Twitter this weekend. So I know they go, since they're based in the Boston area, they go to PAX East. That's like their home convention. So I will be tuning in. Since nobody sent me a video tonight, I will be tuning into Electric Sisterhood for the wrap-up this weekend. We did a podcast with them at PAX East once many moons ago. So, good times.
And then since I'll add to that, sure. I haven't listened to them in a while. And that's just because I have trouble concentrating at work when I'm listening to a long podcast. Or not just to say concentrating at work, concentrating on the podcast when I listen to a long podcast at work. But the Debug Log is another good one. They're a group of indie developers out in the Atlanta area who work in Unity. And they talk about Unity and game development stuff all the time. And they have people on their show talking about different game development principles and all sorts of topics. So go check them out.
All right. Wow, we all had a little plug tonight. I like that. We'll have to make this a regular thing, spreading the love a little bit. Good times. All right, well, let's spread around some more news, but the rapid fire kind. And there was a lot of this stuff we probably could have spent a good 10 minutes talking about, but there's a lot of news this week, but it is what it is. Let's rapid fire these next few stories.
So here's your games with gold lineup for April. You've got on Xbox One the Technomancer, and that's going to be coming out April 1st to the 30th. And then, of course, Outcast Second Contact is going to be 16th through May 15th. And then your Xbox 360 compatible games, you're going to have Star Wars Battlefront 2, the original one. That's April 1st through the 15th. And Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2 on April 16th through the 30th. And then on the PlayStation side of the house, of course, this month it's a little bit lighter because, you know, they got rid of all those other systems. So now you have Conan Exiles and The Surge, and one of those has a penis slider. I'll let you guess which one. It's Conan.
Thank you for letting us know. Thank you for keeping us informed.
Yes. And then, of course, Risk of Rain 2 was something that they talked about during the whole Gearbox presentation. And Risk of Rain was a 2D roguelike. Risk of Rain 2 is 3D. And what's kind of cool about this is it's in early access right now. You can actually purchase a copy, but apparently, well, this is a little old now. If you had purchased a copy before March 30th, you actually got a free copy to give to a friend. But it still looks like it's a pretty decent game, so go check it out. I did not pick up a copy, so I don't have a copy to give to anyone.
maybe in a future time.
Maybe. I think I may have the original game, but I still haven't. Surprise, I haven't played it.
Well, I wouldn't give away my copy of this game because I like this game an awful lot. It's Minecraft, and Minecraft made an update this week. Unfortunately, it was not the 4K update that I was looking forward to, but Minecraft actually removed Notch, who originally created Minecraft. They removed him from the game's splash screens. Now, one could infer that this may have to do with some of the things he says on Twitter. I blocked him because, quite frankly, I don't give a shit what he has to say. And that's my personal opinion. I don't know. Microsoft is not saying if it has to do with the guy specifically or what it is. I think it's probably just more the fact that the game has evolved so much since he sold this off to Microsoft.
Yeah, he hasn't really been working on it in
a
long time.
It ain't his game anymore. It's now this Minecraft team at Microsoft that makes this game. So the time was probably right. I do believe he is still credited, like, I think, like, in the
The actual credits?
The actual credits of the game, but not, like, it used to say on the title screen, like, it would rotate.
Sometimes,
the
stream,
like,
yeah.
Well, there's like, a carousel of things. Kind of like our little ticker on Twitch. There's carousels, and sometimes you're going to see it says, follow Rob Roberts on Twitter, or follow Dark Sakura on Twitch, and you'll see those things. Well, it's kind of like if one of those said, well, that would never happen here, but, you know, if it said, you know, created by such and such, and said person wasn't here anymore, it's like they took that out. So you don't even see it show up on the carousel anymore.
Yeah.
So that was the update they did. That being said, where is my 4K graphics pack? Yes, I want 4K graphics in Minecraft.
Well, I got news for you. Notch was working on it, but now he's not.
He wasn't doing shit with that. That was all Microsoft's thing. I mean, one could also say, where is HoloLens Minecraft? But I think that was a concept thing that really wasn't meant to go much further than that.
Where's my Ouya Minecraft that I was promised when the Ouya came out? I'm still waiting.
Is that really supposed to be a thing?
It was on their screenshot. Oh. It wasn't necessarily something that they may have had, you know, permission or like saying, you know, that this wasn't actually coming to the system. It was like, here's an example of games you might see on the platform, one of which is never coming there.
No. Anyway. I thought that was more appropriate for rapid fire news because one of those things where it's like, okay, they did a thing, but whatever. It doesn't really affect the game. Anyway, this is a big effect for the game and hopefully will be fixed by the time the game comes out. 505 Games commenting on the Bloodstained Ritual of the Night demo that they showed on the Switch at PAX East apparently wasn't running great. It was a little choppy and unpolished. So 505 Games did kind of comment on this to basically say, there's still optimization to be done. The build that was at the show is a long way from being done. The final product should run more like the PC, which is the I guess probably the base one that all the others
was
made off
of. Was the PC version running well? I mean, as far as we were aware?
I wasn't there, so I couldn't tell you, but I'm not hearing complaints.
Why would you
about
bring a demo for something that doesn't work?
That's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, why did they bother to show it on the Switch then if it wasn't really working right? Why not just focus on the other platforms? And if people ask about the Switch, say, yes,
oh, yeah, we're working on it.
It's coming out to the Switch too. We just, you know, we didn't have a version available to show you at the show today. But whatever. They made a choice. At the same time, if they hadn't shown it, then there would have been these other questions.
No, there wouldn't have been any other questions. You'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have the Switch version available to show you at the moment. It's still, you know, it still needs some more.
To be honest, it's unpolished and not ready for the show, but it will be ready to go by the release date.
I
don't know. Anyway, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night is coming to the Switch this summer. It's also coming for PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. Pretty much everywhere you can play a game, this game will be available. Moving on to Dark Sakura.
Well, Dead by Daylight is getting another character. It's going to be Ash from Evil Dead. Yay! Bruce Campbell probably needed to buy a new roof or something.
Please let him deliver the line. This is my boomstick.
Well, I remembered that. Having seen him when I went to go see The Man with the Screaming Brain at the Crest. And he talks about like how different roles are like what he has to pay for something. I was like, I wonder if this one's going to be pay for his roof or a car or something.
Well, if you watch the little like announcement trailer, that was kind of the whole point of it. Is like he made his announcement. He's like, okay, who's got my money? That's pretty funny.
But at any rate, that's going to be on April 2nd. So just in a couple of days.
No fooling.
Huh?
No fooling.
No one's guessed what the joke is. So, guess what the joke is. And then this is the news that made me happy that I alluded to it in my what I've been playing. Steve Ritchie, really cool guy, going very, very deaf. He is a game designer responsible for such classics as Black Knight and Black Knight 2000 and Star Wars Pinball. He's doing a lot of stuff for Stern right now. Well, we remember hearing that he was told he finally gets to work on his dream game. That dream game, and Dan and I are like, oh, it's another Black Knight. Turns out, it's another Black Knight. So Black Knight Sword of Rage is the new one. There's actually like even a teaser up, some gameplay that's up. And then there are going to be two versions of it. There's the Pro Edition, which has just one play field. And then the premium, which is the one that we're going to be getting, that's why we're selling off other pins, that has the upper level play field that harkens back to Black Knight 2000 and Black Knight.
Sounds fun.
I wonder if he's still doing the Black Knight voice. But, I mean, the thing that I like is it's even got, like, the spinner, like, from the Black Knight 2000, and the color scheme is the same. It's got the Black Knight in the middle of it, and we're just so excited about this. Like, this is going to be, like, one of the first tables that we're really going to buy completely brand new. So we are...
It's like buying a small car in some ways.
It's going to be something like... The one that we're getting is going to be like $67,000. We're probably buying ours at California Extreme... $6,700, sorry.
Oh my God. $67,000 for a fucking machine.
Okay. It's going to...
$6,700 is...
I think he said that the Pro was like $52,000 or $55,000. Mm-hmm. And then the Premium is going to be like $67,000. I mean, that's buying it at the show. So we're going to be probably picking ours up at California Extreme. We may not have the money to get it by, not Pinagogo. It's not called that anymore. Pinagogo is a different thing now.
Oh.
Golden State.
Because they
pinball.
Moved it, right? They moved it from Dixon to Lodi, right?
Yeah, it's still the same. It's the same one as the old Pinagogo, but now it's Golden State Pinball Expo in Lodi at the Grape Center, whatever, wine thing. Mm. Which I went last year after DragCon. It was super fun. Stern is going to be selling there and at California Extreme at the big pinball event. So we're probably getting ours at California Extreme.
Remind me, I need to talk to you about something with California Extreme off air.
Okay.
All right. Just remind me because I'll forget.
All right.
Okay.
We're all going, right?
That's the plan, but I got to ask you something about that.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, yes, I'm conducting personal business on the show. Deal with it. Okay. Anyway,
give me your money.
But I'm looking forward to playing this machine. And Dark Sakura will let us bring the camera over. Maybe we can do a little midpoint break and showcase the machine. That'll be fun.
Well, once I have it, sure.
Once you have it. Well, I think we should do that for some of the other machines you have today, actually.
Well, I've got Ghostbusters right now.
Yeah, or the ones you're about to get rid of. Which,
well, that would be Monopoly. You know what's funny is that we always call it Monopoly because of the Master System misprint of Monopoly was Mono Space Poly.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
We've got one of those.
Yeah.
Like, right now in the house is Monopoly World Cup. Ghostbusters in the dining room, and then we have the Medieval Madness. Hello, we have the Medieval Madness reissue, Black Knight 2000, and Theater of Magic. And then outside, we've got Judge Dredd, which I don't know why they like it, but they do. Creature from the Black Lagoon, Demolition Man, which are going to be selling the Shadow, and crap.
They love pinball at your house.
One other that I can't remember.
Fine.
Oh yeah, Twilight Zone. We got our Twilight Zone back. So,
but your Dr. Claw when you're thinking the pinball machines is my favorite thing about this Twitch room.
Oh, that means snapping.
Just the hand gestures that come through on Twitch.
This is thing.
It's thing from the Addams Family, of course. All right. Anyway, come on. Moving on. Let's travel around the world and check out some releases. Things that are coming out a little sooner than this new Black Knight machine. Starting with the U.S. Loki.
I'm afraid I don't have much to announce, but we do have one single game, which will be very great news for my son, and that is Power Rangers Battle for the Grid is coming to PlayStation 4. It's a Power Rangers fighting game. That's it.
Yeah, it seems like it's a slow week in Japan as well. I don't know if that's because Golden Week's at the end of the month or something. I don't know, but there's not... a lot happening in
April's
Japan right
now. April
is
usually a pretty light time because everyone shoves that stuff out for the end of the financial year.
Yeah,
and then it's just like,
that's
dead.
True. The only big release on April 11th, that's next week, so I'll probably say this twice, but Earth Defense Force Iron Rain is out in Japan. On the
yeah, I see that as well.
So there is that. But then if I'm looking at the Switch, okay, the Switch has some things. So on the Switch, we have Super Dragon Ball Heroes World Mission, the Taikan Sports Pack, Tennis, Bowling, Golf, and Billiard, and the variety game with Kinguyo Suki, Card, Suji Puzzle, and Nika Kudori. These kind of sound like kind of shovelware. It doesn't sound like these are huge games. And that's really it. Well, the Dragon Ball is a different story, but those other two sound like they're kind of mini game collections. But there you go. That's what you got in Japan this week. How about the UK? Anything exciting going on
just
over there?
Just a few things. Mm-hmm. On the first Darksiders War Mastered Edition, and then on the fourth, YouTuber's Life OMG and Super Dragon Ball Heroes World Mission. Dragon Ball Hero? Oh, I guess it's out on Switch. I always thought it was an arcade-only thing, but Super Dragon Ball Heroes World Mission is coming out. No, there were all the DS ones that came out in Japan.
Well, and it's the same thing that was on the Japanese list, too. So
yeah. But I didn't think that it ever had a European release, so maybe this is... Dragon Ball Heroes is just kind of weird. Because it's like your two kids who play in and get sucked into the video game, and they're part of that. They like become Saiyajin in the game and have to do shit.
That's fun.
It's kind of cool, but you buy like cards for the arcade machine, and then it reads your characters on the cards.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Well, I think Loki is in the right ballpark, though. I think this week in particular is just slow because everybody pushed for last week at the end of the fiscal year, so it's kind of like this is just a slow period because of that. So, all right. Well, moving on then, after world release dates, this is the part of the show where we would usually get into the mailbag over at participate@orangeloungeradio.com, although when I checked earlier today, it was empty. I don't know about now. Oh, there's one?
Yeah, there's one from today.
Okay, then that's why I missed it. Let's do it.
All right. This one comes from our dear Ronchan. Evening, everyone. Great show last week, but I wanted to say a couple of things real quick. I don't have much hope in Google Stadia, seeing how it's going to rely more on software than hardware. Honestly, if they want Stadia to be a success, Google should release a beefed up Chromecast with more storage and memory and have that as a dedicated streaming device to pair with a controller. To me, that makes the most amount of sense, and I actually would second that. And then, to me, about what I said about Chrome. After the show, I checked my task manager and saw for myself with the many instances, but also Firefox, Edge, and other web browsers do the same thing. And I understand your views about how Google should optimize Stadia for Safari, but Google shouldn't have to because Chrome is their browser of choice for obvious reasons. Well, duh, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to want you to use Chrome, of
perhaps
course.
Once they have perfected how they want Chrome to operate with Stadia, we could see that same optimization on Safari. But seeing how Microsoft's new web browser Edge is being redone with Chromium and seeing how that's the majority browser being used, it could be a while. And that's all for now. I'm off to edit more con photos and whatnot. Stay awesome, all Ranma.
You can still use Chrome on Apple products. It just doesn't run great. I use Chrome on my phone, and the reason why, incognito mode. And it's
you have that on Safari.
Then they must have put that in there recently.
It hasn't been new. It's been there forever. It's called private browsing.
Because I use it all the time because when I look at, like, there's so many news sites that, like, when you go, it's like, you've used up your free articles this month. Go in private browsing, works fine.
Well, it's been there since its inception.
Oh, I don't.
When you slide up your window, you'll get a new plus for private browser window.
Oh. Well, I'm used to Chrome anyway. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
So.
Well, people were used to horse and buggies, but you see where we are now.
You know what? All right. And Bobby Blackwell was saying you might want to reiterate who Ranchan is.
Ranma.
Of course.
DJ Ranma S. He's my Ranchan.
Our pal from the Anime Jam Session. Maybe Bobby wants us to work in the cheap plug for Anime Jam Session, hosted Tuesday nights here at VOD.
Well, you can do that.
You got it. All right. Anyway, so there you go. Yeah, ActDev says, well, there was an email, so no Drag Race talk, sadly. Nope, we'll have to roll that over.
Oh, girl.
I haven't watched this week anyway, so I'm not. Believe it or not, I've been trying to, and I didn't want to talk a lot about this on the show until I was actually making a habit of it, but I would say, since mid-March, Alan got us gym memberships, and I've now been 12 times. So I would say I'm making it a habit. I haven't been good about every day, but I've been going almost every other day. So I'm trying. I'm trying to turn this Jigglypuff into some Wigglytuff. That's just kind of, you know, I just want to shape the dad bod a little more. That's all I want. And just in general, just be a little more active.
Yeah, I still was pretty. Do you remember that article about the guy who went from like total twink to total bear? Seriously.
I'm not. I mean, I'm 40 and married. I'm not, you know, sure, I would like to, but I'm not going to have a six pack, and I'm totally fine with that. But
exercise is good for your heart.
Well, and also, I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna keep it real because I'm very real with you all. I watched some of this show on Twitch, and I looked at myself and I said, "That is the biggest I've been in a very long time. I don't like it. I want to change it." And so, you know how you change it?
You do something about it.
You do something about it. So
exactly, change doesn't happen until you make it happen.
So it's not just the. It's not just the, and I just want to, you know, everybody views, you know, I'm saying if you are fine with your figure and, you know, full size, that is fucking great. I'm just saying for me personally, because wonderful people come in all shapes and sizes and colors and formats and so forth. But I'm just saying for me, I looked at this show and I said, I'm capable of better, you know, and especially
well,
when
you
I've got
feel a, better.
It's been 2 weeks. Give it. Let's ask me again in another month.
Yeah, but you'll notice that just in general, you feel better, have more stamina.
You know what I do feel better with is that I've also in turn been trying to do more. Like I've been eating out at work a lot. Like I'll go to the taco place. I'll go to this place. I've really managed to. And you know what I finally did that kind of worked? Instead of forcing myself to eat those diet meals, I eat, and I don't want to give them free advertising, but I eat a particular brand of meal. It's not like Hungry Man, but it's more like reasonable portion meal. It's not diet, but it's 400 calories, 500 calories. I still feel like I'm actually eating something as opposed to eating, you know, paper.
Well, I just like the whole fuck it thing, which finally stuck in my head. I mean, people call it mindful eating. I prefer the fuck it diet. But for me, it's like if you actually are enjoying what you're eating, you may not feel like you have to finish it. It'll be there.
Yeah.
You can get it again.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you have reasonable income, if you enjoy a food, you can eat it again and you don't have to finish it.
Yeah. So, you know, you know, and you guys have been very open.
I'm really proud of you, by the way. I'm proud of both of you guys.
Again, save the kudos for about 4 more weeks. I wasn't going to say anything until it was 21 days because it takes 21 days to become a habit. Save the kudos until I actually show some visible progress. But speaking of visible progress, you guys would know that Loki was a bigger guy a little bit. Like, not like you were never like big.
Like a year ago.
You know, you had a little more fluff like me, but you guys wouldn't know it. Loki has slimmed down quite a bit. So good for you. So
not as of the last few months, though, it's just been
sometimes the wagon. It happens. Trains get derailed.
Even with my thing, I've been on a plateau. I was on a big plateau for a couple of months and then started losing again. And then my weight hasn't changed, but I went down a size.
Yeah. And so. You've been very open about you went through a huge life change.
Well, because three freaking doctors are like, your feet aren't going to get any better. Your back's not going to get any better until this happens. And I was I was very close to pre-diabetic. So just like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And I have no regrets.
Poppy Blackwolf says, I'm still fat and happy. Great. Awesome. And Bobby has a great presence on Twitch too. So it works. Great. And he says, fitness, whole pizza in my mouth. And
if you are happy being squishy, then be squishy.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with it. And also, you know what? Just because I'm saying I'm doing these different things, you think I'm going to rob myself of pizza? When I go to Dragon Con, girl, you better believe I'm going to eat what I want.
Who said yes to free pizza at work yesterday? This bitch.
When I went to Vegas, you better believe I ordered exactly what I wanted because you don't always get to eat at those. I don't want no goddamn salad.
But you know what, though?
That's I'm in Hell's Kitchen.
There are a few things that I miss. Uh-huh. I miss buffets. I can't eat enough to make a buffet worth it anymore, but I fucking miss ice cream, like real ice cream and pudding. I can't eat ice cream and pudding anymore.
I haven't been able to eat ice cream since the surgery 10 years ago when I had my gallbladder out.
What about like fat-free?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. I can eat it, but it's one of those foods that like
makes
my insides don't.
Really sick. Don't. Do you feel like you're being punched from the inside?
A little bit, but
yeah,
honestly,
that's what I feel like.
I don't want to say the name. The stuff that advertises itself is only 300 calories in a pint because it's less dairy. I eat that stuff, and I eat frozen yogurt all the time. Froyo's great.
I can't do Froyo.
No. Oh, that's too bad.
Yep, but you know what?
Anyway.
In the quest one does to better oneself, there are sacrifices to make.
Mm-hmm.
And if you change doesn't happen until you make it happen.
Right. And once in a while, I will eat ice cream, but it's like, I went to Dairy Queen and I'm fucking having a blizzard. I don't care about the repercussions, but that's like once every few months. You know, it's not an everyday type of thing. Anyway, let's see. Sorry, I didn't mean to get on that whole tangent. I'm sorry. The whole point was I was trying to say,
eat more oranges radio.
I watched half of this week's Drag Race while on the elliptical, but I'm not through the whole thing yet. So I can't talk about Drag Race because I don't know who got kicked off yet, but I have a pretty good guess. But anyway, until then, we will move on with more stories. Let's talk about some more news. Then we're going to open it up for your calls. If you want to derail the show with your topic, you sure can. Just join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord, and hang out in the green room. But it will be a little bit before we get there because we got some more stories for you, starting with Loki.
So now we're laying off some more people, and this time EA is doing the laying off. They're laying off, I think it was about 4% of their workforce, or 350 people in marketing, publishing, and other areas. Basically, there was an email that was sent out saying that we have a vision to be the world's greatest games company. If we're honest with ourselves, we're not there right now. We have work to do with our games, our player relationships, and our business. Across the company, teams are already taking action to ensure we are creating higher quality games and live services, reaching more platforms with our content and subscriptions, improving our Frostbite tools, focusing our networks and cloud gaming priorities, and closing the gap between us and the player communities. That says nothing about laying off the people at all. So I'm not really sure, you know, what the case may be there. It seems like with a lot of these other companies, it's to kind of meet the expectations of their investors. Basically, you have a company that's made so much money that how are you going to top that the following year? Because you've pretty much capped out all the people that are going to be playing your games. And now how do you become more profitable? Well, you lay off some people to make your operating costs lower.
I have a theory as to why this all happened.
But, yeah, so...
You want to hear my theory?
Yeah, let's hear your theory.
Okay. Because, and here's the thing. A lot of people are jumping at this going, oh, Anthem ruined EA. Look at that. I think this might have been planned a little bit sooner than we definitively know how Anthem's doing or not. But we do know Apex has been successful. And you know what we talked about last week on the show and what a lot of people are saying very tongue-in-cheek about this? Is that EA paid Ninja $1 million to stream the game on, and you know, it got all that visibility. Who did they just lay off in this? They laid off a lot of publicity people. They laid a lot of promotional people and so forth. This, in my opinion, and I'm just some dude on a microphone with a podcast. I'm not like an official investor or whatever, but I kind of see there's a link here, is that EA has now learned that they can just take their case to the gamers in a different way. And I'm not saying that it's all going to go this way. I'm just saying EA's learned maybe where they can make some change or where they want to make some changes. Whether it's effective or not, I guess that's for the market and the sales of the games to decide. But I'll be damned if I don't see some correlation here between what we talked about last week and this. And my heart does go out to those that are laid off. I'm not saying it was the right move or anything like that. But it's just, I can't help but notice this. Loki, you think there's something there?
Well, they were saying also that they're ramping down their current presence in Japan and Russia to focus on different ways to serve those players in those markets. So I think it's just restructuring. And I don't know. I don't think that they're just going to all of a sudden put all their eggs in, like, social media influencers.
Not all of them, but some of them.
I don't,
because they didn't lay off the really entire staff. I mean, in some of these other markets like Russia and Japan, they did. But, I mean, you know, I just don't think EA games go over the same way in Japan. You know, it's not really the same
right
type of market. So, I mean, I think there's other factors when it comes to those decisions. But I think they're all kind of coming to a head at the end of the fiscal year, which is why these things are shifting. And Bobby Blackwolf in our chat says, business decisions aren't about what you did, but what you're going to do. And then Tiger Claw kind of follows that up with, I can see EA hiring a bunch of streamers as their PR. I don't think it's quite the way you phrased it there, Tiger Claw, but I think are they looking at, perhaps it's more cost effective to have some of our PR done for us by streamers?
We've seen how that's worked out, though, because they did the whole Battlefield 5 thing, and I went and see even Battlefield 1 was like that. They had social media influencers or YouTubers or Twitch streamers or whatever presenting, and unfortunately, they are not great presenters, and it was very awkward. And it
again, I'm not saying 100% of it is going
right,
to be streamers.
I understand that.
I'm just saying a good chunk of it.
But, like, I just don't see... I don't see how that's really going to hit more. I don't know if they're getting their money's worth with that. You know, paying Ninja $1 million, is that really going to recoup $1 million worth of profit back? I don't think so. I think they're wasting money there. But whatever. I guess we'll have to. I don't know. I don't see the numbers. So
Look at how Apex is doing. I think they did.
Yeah, but I don't think that's because of him at all, though. I think it's because it was a game by
I don't think it's
Titanfall devs that looked great.
I don't think it's him specifically. I think we keep saying Ninja because he's kind of this symbol of multiple streamers that are doing this thing and the general concept of social media influencers. It's just that he's been on Ellen, so he's kind of the symbol right now of that whole thing. So to be clear, I'm not saying him specifically, but I'm saying that market, if you will, of him and streamers like him. So anyway, I don't know.
I think that's giving them too much power, to be honest. Like, I mean, sure, there's going to be some influence over their crowds. It's going to get more impressions to people that are maybe interested in that type of gameplay, because obviously people that are following Ninja are into, you know, Fortnite. And so, you know, spinning off to another battle royale type genre game is going to be something that's like, oh, hey, you know, maybe I could try that because it's free to play or something like that. It's not necessarily going to be, oh, I'm going to jump into like PUBG or something where I have to pay money to.
I will absolutely give you that. The fact that Apex is free is a huge part of the reason why it's succeeding.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because if it's like a $60 game, I mean, I don't know if it would have done as well, but I don't think the thought process here is that, well, these, you know, media influencers seem to be, you know, helping us out, so we don't need our marketing department anymore. No, that I don't think that's going to be.
They didn't eliminate the marketing department. They cut it back. That's the difference, though. I'm saying, because that's why I keep saying,
yeah, but
not 100%. No, not 100%. But they're maybe looking at, you know what, some of these dollars that we're into putting on E3.
Right.
You know, that's a cutback.
No, I understand that, but it's not, you wouldn't cut back on marketing staff. You would cut back on your marketing spend in different areas. Instead of like putting all of my money in TV advertisements, I'm going to be shifting more to web, video pre-roll stuff, maybe these social media influencers, you know, put my money there where I know I'm going to get more of an impact, more of, you know, a result that way versus some, you know, older ways of advertising before, print magazine advertisements, you know, let's cut back on that. I think that's more of the long lines. And maybe if that's the case in the shift to these other types of platforms, maybe these people that were in those marketing positions were towards those types of marketing. And maybe that's why they're doing, or maybe who cares and we don't need to know about the inner workings of this company, and it's not going to make their games any goddamn better at all. So who gives a shit? Sorry for the people that got laid off, but it's not going to. EA, I'm sorry. I know you wanted to be the best company in the world, but guess what? Hopes and dreams aren't going to make that fucking happen. Your lack of loot boxes and shit will, though.
This, I and I'll meet you there. This is not going to fix EA's problems because it's very different than this.
But have them spin that. We're gonna do it now.
Okay. Wasn't there like a twin story to this? Something else to read with this? Because I want to quickly get that out and then move
on. So EA announced a new publishing agreement with Velen Studios. So they have a new game coming to the Switch, apparently. It's like a team-based game. So Velen Studios, who I guess came from Vicarious Visions, who were like a basement star. They did like,
they were all the Skylanders.
Yeah, the
guys,
Skylanders,
right?
Guitar Hero, Rock Band, Super Mario Maker.
Well, I think they did like ports of some of those things, but yeah.
Well, I mean,
when it came to Guitar, well, I mean, they didn't make Guitar Hero, but they did some of the ports.
Right.
Did they
right.
do DJ Hero though? Was that them?
What?
DJ Hero?
No.
No, you're right. No. That was different. Never mind. Those guys made the new.
So yeah, game. They partnered with them and they're exploring. God, it's all fucking PR speak. Like, lay these people off. We don't need any more fucking PR speak in your goddamn press releases. Like, exploring the boundaries of play with new technology and play patterns. Fuck you, is what I have to say. I just want to see what game you're going to put out. I don't need all this bullshit. You could have cut this down to, like, one or two paragraphs, and then that would have been it. Fuck, God, just, like, blow some more smoke up their asses. I mean, seriously.
Show me the game.
They're making a game. It's coming to Switch. Hooray!
Right. Look, let's move on. I want to talk about some news that I think we all can agree is some great news. If you are especially an Amazon Prime person, which, you know, cheap plug, by the way, if you are an Amazon Prime person, then guess what? You get one free Twitch subscription every month, and we would encourage you to use it here at VOG Network because
I have done so today.
Thank you. Hooray. Yay. Because then you can actually watch the video archive at any time. I mean, the audio is as it has been for 17 years, that same product, the audio that we do is free. There's just something a little bit extra, but you can watch video archives of ourselves, Bobby Blackwolf, now this indie game showcase, as well as anything we might do in the future. You'll have a nice big archive for our subscribers. So big thank you to everybody who is subscribing using their Amazon Prime. Or some people are paying out of pocket to do that. We really appreciate you guys as well. I think also today is the last day to grab the 2,500 biddies. If it's not already done, you can get 2,500 biddies for $25, which means Twitch is kind of like not taking their cut right now. And so that's also because we really appreciate the bits and all that stuff. So it helps us in getting the word out there and some of the plans that we have for this year with promo and all that good stuff. Anyway, those of you that are on Amazon Prime, guess what? You also get other perks. So you don't just get your whole, like, you know, that you can subscribe to one Twitch channel every month, but you also right now, and this is a big, kind of a big deal, you get 12 months of Nintendo Switch Online free. So if you haven't signed up yet, or even if you have, actually, you can go get 12 months for free. And so, yeah, and I just did this today. You can extend your current membership. So
I think it only lets you 3 months right now, then 90 days, yeah, you can do another 9 months.
That's, I think, what they're doing to, like, if anybody's trying to do the free trial thing, because you could go in with a free trial of Amazon Prime or whatever, get your, you know, so they're wanting to make sure people keep it, I think. So, yeah, you can redeem 3 months now, and then in, like, 60 days, 2 or 3 months, you can get the rest of it. So, but, you know, I imagine a lot of you are thinking about taking advantage of that. So, yeah, you can check that out. You see that pop right up there when you're logged into Twitch TV.
I'm signing up for it right now.
Yeah, so, and you can extend your current membership. So that's pretty crazy. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the recent Spotify thing where they were like, hey, if you're a Spotify premium person, you get Hulu Plus. You know, it's like it's this like weird alliance type thing they're doing. You know, I'm sure Twitch has given Nintendo some money and so forth, but it's pretty crazy. So anyway, Shane is pointing something else out here. This is also very interesting. Shane is in our chat saying, unless you're in a family plan, then you get nothing. So those people that were like coming up with their plan to share their family plan with other people, doesn't work. This is only for an individual plan. Good footnote. I wouldn't have caught that because I don't have a family plan because it's, you know, just me. And if Alan wants to play something, he just uses my account. He rarely plays anything on console these days anyway. So, yes, good call out, though. Let's see. Tiger Claw on chat says, I took advantage of this, but I can't activate it because I don't have a Switch. Well, maybe you'll be incentivized to get one, or maybe you'll go to a friend's house or something. I don't know, but I think it's kind of interesting. So, ActDev says you can add it to your current subscription if you aren't part of the family plan. So, yeah, pretty neat. So, yeah, you can get that for free if you are not already on a family plan. But you, I mean, I get hypothetically, if I'm not mistaken, you could make your own account that's not a part of the family plan. And then you could get it for 12 months on your own. But then why would you do that? You probably still have like 9 months left in your family plan because, right, that all started like November, December. So might not be worth it. I don't know. Anyway, there you go. Pretty good deal a lot of people are taking advantage of right now. Moving on, Dark Sakura.
Well, here are, I don't know, it's kind of sad. It's the end of an era. But Kaz Hirai, you know, he went on to be the director and chairman of Sony after stepping down as CEO. Now he's officially retiring. But I mean, he was the dude that gave us Enemy Crab. I think he did a pretty good job with Sony. So he's going to be around as a consultant, you know, to put in input. And they say he's going to continue to advise the company until he decides not to. Yoshida Kenichiro put out a statement that says, while he will be retiring from both chairman and board of directors, we look forward to his continuing high-level support to Sony's management that encompasses a breadth of diverse businesses.
You know, for all the shit we gave this guy over the years about that infamous PlayStation 3 reveal at E3, you know, he did move on to other positions within the company and has kind of overseen the PlayStation 4 and the success that has come with that. So, you know.
Indeed.
As much as we joke about whatever, the crayons and all that stuff from back in the day.
He really was fairly smart. He just said some dumb things.
They had a bad E3, and I mean a really bad E3.
Yeah, they did.
A really bad E3. But now, you know, it's a much different company, and, you know, I think it's probably a good
time. He's learned.
It's probably a good time for him to transition this out. And I love the whole, he's going to be working for them as an advisor until he doesn't. Like, I'm going to be doing this until I decide not to.
Well, I mean, that kind of is how it is.
It's like us in Orange Lounge Radio. We'll continue to do this show until we don't.
I mean, seriously, that's how we are.
No, it is. It is.
Or until Rob has another big diva fit.
You never know. Time is short.
Yeah. Live long, diva hard.
All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Just a couple more stories for you guys, then we're going to get to the listener roundtable with calls and Discord and questions in chat. But Loki, you're really excited about this project.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, this is pretty cool. I never did get a chance to mess around with it, but it's been updated. So we talked about this, I think, months ago now, about the Mega Man Maker that is out on PC. So basically, it's this unofficial, you know, almost like a Mario Maker type thing for Mega Man games. Well, now they've added some additional stuff into the game, like that's focused around Mega Man 8 and 9. So they have them done like a retro form, though. So they've got four new bosses: Grenade Man, Astro Man, Tornado Man, Concrete Man. They have a quick swap tool, multi-boss option, and then you can even have it. So basically, that means you can have Mega Man fight two bosses at once. And just like a bunch of other updates, new little gimmicks and stuff in there as well. So if it's something you want to check out, I don't know where you can actually pick this up. But I see that they have something on YouTube regarding it. But I think you can download it at MegaManMaker.com. Of course, it would make sense that would be the URL for that. So that's where you can check it out. It's free. And I'm curious to see if anyone's made anything cool of this, probably.
I'm with Dark Tatuya in our chat room over twitch.tv/VogNetwork, who says, Mega Man Maker just makes me sad. Mega Man Universe never materialized. Yeah, but you know what? When the official company decides not to do it, other people kind of step in sometimes and homebrew it up, and it looks pretty neat.
They've got some pretty interesting things in this. So, I mean, it definitely looks pretty cool. I guess we'll have to check it out.
Yeah, that might be a fun thing to do, like, some live streams with at some point or something. So,
yeah.
SG100 Matt in chat says, I was going to say Mega Man Universe looked like an amazing idea. Tiger Claw says, how about Metroid Maker? I feel like that's probably out there.
Someone did do a Metroid Maker already. In fact, there's some ROMs out there to do, like, fan-built Metroid.
And they certainly have the shuffles, the random generated ones.
The randomizers?
Randomizers, yeah. I always mean to get in there and play some of those randomizers.
I like the mixed randomizers with Legend of Zelda.
Yes, I've seen that one too. So, the Zelda and Metroid one. Where, like,
yeah, they did it at Games Done Quick.
Yeah, that looks so cool. So, anyway, let's move on. One more story for you guys here, and this has to do with, you know, another YouTuber, but one that might not have as many people watching as a ninja, but she should. Her name is Shirley Curry, which I love her name. She's 82 years old, and she is a grandma that plays Skyrim. She is the Skyrim grandma.
I'm going to be playing Skyrim when I'm 82 years old,
heck
too.
Heck yeah. Heck
well,
yeah.
Probably not Skyrim, but Elder Scrolls 6 or
she's like,
7.
I was young like you once. But then I took an arrow. Oh, forget it. All right. Anyway, this is cool. Bethesda announced this week she will be appearing in The Elder Scrolls 6. They used technology to scan her face, and she's going to be a character in the game. Funny enough, this little peek behind the scenes that we saw is really like our first true look at anything with The Elder Scrolls 6. I mean, that announcement trailer was what? A photo and a maybe logo? This was really the first true look we got at the game, because Bethesda's already said, don't expect this until Starfield's done, basically. Which, on that note, I should also say, kind of like a tangent from this, Bethesda has also indicated you will not be seeing either of these things at E3 this year. So if you are expecting that this will be Starfield's year, or this will be Elder Scrolls 6's
year, New Vegas remaster,
keep right on thinking. It seems like at this point Bethesda may be holding those things for the PlayStation 5, next Xbox, et cetera, et cetera, what's coming next for gaming. So don't expect that at this year's E3. They're setting those expectations now. Anyway, this was all revealed at a PAX East panel. This is where this information came out. It was actually an Elder Scrolls 25th anniversary panel. I didn't realize the series as a whole. I mean, probably because most of us didn't really follow it until Morrowind. I mean, no disrespect to, like, Arena and the games before it, but I think Morrowind was when, especially Morrowind was on Xbox, so that's when the game really, you know, started to get more steam. The original Xbox, not Xbox 360. Yes. That was Oblivion. But anyway, so yeah, they were talking about the photo capture technology, and then they showed good old Grandma Shirley actually being in the game. And when asked for comment, she said, "This means a lot to me because I would be extremely happy to know that somebody else was playing with my character in a future Elder Scrolls game." She has 483,000 people on YouTube. It's not a nothing to balk at.
No.
She's got about 1,000 times the people that we do. So good for her. That's great. I love that too. And I think that's so good what she's saying there about, like, this is something that will be there forever, essentially, you know, after she's gone. And as video game historians look back on a game like Elder Scrolls 6, she will have played a small part of that. And I think that's a really
until she comes out and says racist things on Twitter, and then they can patch her out of the game.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope she doesn't do that. Let's just hope she's pretty pretty level-minded and so forth. Sly Kick in chat says, "Rob, did you say this will be Garfield's year?" I most certainly did not. Starfield. Very big different. But I will say, Garfield and I both hate Mondays, so there is that going for us this year, that's for sure.
You know what always bothered me about that?
What?
Garfield's a fucking cat and doesn't have to go to work. Why the fuck would he hate a Monday? Just doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know. I also appreciate Garfield without Garfield. Now, is that still a thing?
That's just really sad.
It is. I love those comments.
Morbidly sad.
It is.
Poor John.
Sia Tiberi in chat says, "Do you also love lasagna?" Hell yeah. Hell yeah, I love lasagna. Anyway.
You know what? If we still had a fortune cookie, I would have you play Weird Al's lasagna.
Everybody in chat
la, 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 lasagna.
Bobby and Act After chiming in saying, "John leaves to work on Mondays. That's why Garfield hates
Mondays."
Yeah,
but Garfield only tolerates John.
Isn't that the truth? All right, let's get to the listener roundtable. If you want to call in to talk about literally anything but Garfield, that hopefully has something to do with games, you can join our Discord server right now over at vognetwork.com/discord, and we're going to be taking some of your calls here on the show, except I'm not configured here on the show computer to do that yet. So, Loki, I'm sure you probably have some last-minute stories you want to get to while I get everything configured here, right?
Well, I've been looking at these videos on Twitter. So apparently Sonic Ether's unbelievable shaders for Minecraft is probably pretty close. So he's in one of the experimental builds he has now. It has ray tracing in it, and it looks amazing.
Huh.
So that's pretty awesome. I'll have to check that out. Apparently, you can get it if you go back him on Patreon, Sonic Ether. They're at $10, and you get access to their experimental shaders. Apparently, the ray tracing, though, is still not entirely optimized. It only runs at 25 to 40 frames per second. With far distance, it on maxed out PC, so they had like a 9900K with a GTS, 1170 Ti or a 1070 Ti, and but God, it looks amazing.
Yeah, I was.
This is what I want to see for like
the 4K pack. Yeah,
the next. Yeah, this is better than their 4K pack.
Anyway, before you get to some more stories, we actually have some people waiting to call in and be on the show tonight. So I'm going to get to it and get to a call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Oh, they disappeared. Let me try one more time to bring them into the room and see if they want to be on the show tonight. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
I'm on Ambien, so I didn't know what I was doing on my phone. So whatever, it's Shane.
Hi, Shane. How are you?
I'm on Ambien and tired.
Okay, well, that's what Ambien does. So before you fall asleep, what did you want to call in about tonight to talk about?
So we know that I defend Anthem a lot. I think it's a great game. Dustin and I hit 30 today.
He just dropped out. Did he just hit the disconnect button?
Shane just fell asleep.
He needs to stop making ambient Skype calls.
just so you guys know, he disappeared from Discord. So he either, that's not our internet or anything, or those problems that we were having earlier. He was in the chat.
Why are we looking at Britney Spears? And then he wasn't.
Because you're looking at Britney Spears because somebody put that in our Discord before I started taking calls. Because
Britney Spears and Deadpool.
All right, I'm going to try this one more time. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened.
You hit the disconnect or you quit or something.
No, I didn't. I was just straight up talking. So.
All right.
It was taking Ambien too.
Yeah, you were talking about Anthem. So even though a lot of folks are expressing displeasure with this game, you're into it. What is it that you love so much about this game?
It's fun. The story is not half bad. The flying is great. The different javelins make the game feel differently for you. So I'm not big on just like shooting things, but I am big on being like a mage and blowing stuff up. So I found something that works for me. And Dustin doesn't really like to shoot stuff. So he found something that works for him that just melees everything till it dies. So it's been pretty fun. It's like Mass Effect multiplayer.
And so it was worth the $60 at the end of the day?
Well, I didn't pay $60 because I had Gamers Club from Best Buy. So, yes, it was worth whatever that was, $42 or something.
Right. But, and I always forget some people are playing it through EA's subscription service because subscription services are the way to go these days.
Well, and that's kind of where my call was leading because I love this game. The bugs are sometimes annoying. I got into a mission today and I didn't have a head. I didn't understand why, but I was flying around with no head. But during my Ambien shopping last night, I decided to pick up PC copies for us because he really likes the game. And I like playing the game with him. So it's like, well, now we can play on our PCs if we want because we've been playing on Xbox. And so we go install the games, put in our codes. Apparently, since Friday, Origin is all sorts of broken for the West Coast and Central U.S. and Canada. It'll keep telling you you're not connected online, so you can't launch any of the games.
Yikes.
Yeah, so this is one of those times where I can't defend like something to do with EA that I like, because I actually think Origin is pretty good. But this has been a real annoyance today because we hit 30. I was like, here, let's go play it on computer and just get started. And we're just sitting there and it keeps saying, oh, we see you're not connected to the internet. It's like, no, we are.
Interesting. Because
just downloaded the game.
Because Apex is all through Origin. I mean, yes, I know Apex is on consoles too, but that means
Apex
they're having...
Apex isn't working for people too.
Yikes. That's not good. That's their bread and butter right now. So that's a little surprising to hear that.
The only workaround is apparently using a VPN and having it think you're like East Coast. East Coast apparently is having no problems. It's just the West Coast and Central.
Weird. I wonder if it's like the data centers it's routing you to. Like there must be like an East Coast data center and a West Coast data center. And so the West Coast one is having issues.
Yeah, since Friday, and they hadn't fixed it. So I don't know what's going on.
Yikes.
Kind of killed my buzz for playing the rest of the day. So
that's too bad.
It was a bummer. Yeah.
All right. So you're – what?
Amazing video game news. I got the soundtrack to Silent Hill 2 on vinyl this
week. Nice.
And one of the records – is like a black and red swirl that you can see through if you put it up to the light. Huh. And on the back of it and the little hole around it, the paper around the hole says there was a hole here. It's gone now. And it just made my day.
That's pretty good. I didn't know they were releasing that on vinyl. That's pretty rad. So.
Yeah, they also have Silent Hill 1 for vinyl right now, but not 3 or 4, which is actually the ones I'd want.
All right. Well, maybe if the other ones sell really well, they'll do the other ones in the future. Who knows? So,
yeah,
all right.
So.
Well, I'm going to let you go so we can get more calls. But, you know, in the future, you know, so you prevent Ambien shopping and so forth. Have you ever considered, like, when you take an Ambien, like, go to bed?
That's what I'm about to do.
All right. Just checking. I mean, ask your doctor, but it just would seem like if you want to prevent. they unnecessary to... shopping. You just go to bed when you take the Ambien.
Okay, they tell me to take it in bed, but I take it like an hour and a half early, so the effects start kicking in. And wow. even then, I would just take my phone to bed, and then they're shopping right there.
But then at least you... Well, yeah, I guess you need to disable shopping on your phone. Real quick, before we let you go, because we are getting a question for you in our chat room. Act Deft wants to know, how many shinies did you get yesterday in Pokemon Go?
Three Lotad... And I think I ended either 16 or 17 cast form.
Wow. I was going to say three is low for you, but that Lotad thing, not a lot of people.
Sucks.
Yeah, people are not happy with the way those research quests went down, I guess.
No. Oh, and here's another problem. Sorry, I'm keeping me on the line, but
it's fine.
At least here, the spawns kind of sucked. And I would see a lot of cast forms, just regular cast forms. But when it would be sunny, like sunny Pokemon, weather boosted sunny Pokemon wouldn't be out. It'd be like, I don't know, partly cloudy. So when you get quests that say catch X amount of weather boosts, what are you going to do? You really can't.
Hmm. No, I mean.
It happens at least three of the hours that we played.
It didn't seem like the spawns were increased, but I felt like, you know, we went to the usual spot at the Capitol, and it felt like it was okay. It was fine. But
Yeah, we didn't have that. Interesting. But I never need to see a shiny cast form again. I'm kind of sick of them.
All right. Fair enough. All right. I'm going to let you go so we can get some more calls, but good night.
All right. Good night.
All right. We're going to get to some more calls here. I see this person. I don't think this one's called into the show before, so let's see if we can get them on. We're going to bring them into chat and say hello. You're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Ninja Bunny.
Hey, Ninja Bunny. Good to hear from you. What's up?
I want to talk about... Wait, hold on. I'm echoing. There you go. I wanted to talk about time investment in games.
Sure. What do you mean? Elaborate on that a little bit. What do you mean by time investment in games?
So I play a lot of fighting games, and pretty much I feel like if you get good at Street Fighter 3 or Street Fighter 5 or whatever the hell you're playing, those skills transfer over to other fighting games, and I don't really like to waste time. So that's one of the reasons why I don't play MMOs, because I don't feel like any of those skills or anything like that transfer over to other MMOs, because you still have to grind for items and skills and all that stuff.
Unless you play a melee class.
Well, I kind of see where he's going, though. I get what he's saying is that, like, generally, you know, when you're playing fighting games, like, you push the stick up, you're always going to jump. But, like, in MMOs, the whole, like, backbone about how the game functions and, you know, the fighting style, let's say, is very different between, you know, World of Warcraft and Final Fantasy XI and Guild Wars. They're all very different. Whereas, you know, in fighting games, you have punch, kick, jump. You have different types of punches and kicks. But generally, you know, and it's not to say all fighting games are the same, but I kind of see where you're going with this. So sorry, we cut you off. Did you want to finish your thought or ask a question? Or
it's just mainly why I don't enjoy games like Banjo-Kazooie or Donkey Kong or anything where you have to like collect a bunch of shit. And it's also the main reason why I don't like Breath of the Wild.
Oh, right, because I read you a little bit earlier for the whole Breath of the Wild comment. Interesting. Well, you know what, and that's okay. All joking aside, you know, people like what they like, and that's okay. Because, you know, for instance, here at Orange Lounge Radio, we don't often talk about sports games. There's not a lot of sports games. Like, we don't really play Madden and stuff like that. Now, some of the old school classics, like I heard they did NBA Jam at PAX East today. That's pretty cool. But, you know, like a lot of the newer modern sports games, we just don't get into those so much. But, you know, I completely understand, as someone who's been, you know, commentating on this for a long time, there's a lot of people who play sports games and who buy Xboxes and things to play sports games specifically. And in some ways, you know what, one could say what you're saying here about fighting games in some ways is also true of sports games. That, like, you know, if you know how to play football for real, you kind of already know what the rules of Madden are going to be, sort of. But, you know, but on the flip side of that, and I'm sure you recognize this, but for some people, that collecting, that exploring, that's the reward. That's what some people love to do, specifically when it comes to Breath of the Wild. Because, you know, a lot of people think of Zelda as like being on this map and, you know, this dungeon is here and then you go here. And there was, you know, a lot of, especially the older Zelda games, was very much a way that you progress and you go through the game. That with Breath of the Wild, it opened it up. And it opened it up really big to a point where maybe it felt a little inaccessible if you didn't really ever play these kinds of games. But at the same time also led to a sense of reward for exploration. Like, oh, I had no idea this temple was hiding behind this corner over here or what have you. And the whole concept of, oh, sometimes there's more than one way to get through an issue. Like, especially when it comes to like the snowy areas. Like what? You can build a coat, I think, at some point. You can eat fire food. You can just fucking run for it and hope you make it before you die. There's like multiple ways to get through situations, and that, I think, is fun for some people as well. But that doesn't...
What I think is that the skill that you develop with something like Breath of the Wild is the ability to look around corners. And so when I started, you know, after playing a little bit of Breath of the Wild, I actually did apply it to World of Warcraft and found that I was, well, mostly to my breaking, you know, barriers in the game and breaking the game, but I found that it helped.
I do want to read a couple comments here in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Questbuster in chat says, that's one of the issues about games like Fallout 76, that the loot system as it is right now doesn't respect your time. Oh, wow, I found a legendary mob, and it drops junk again. You know, that was a big problem in the early days of Diablo 3, is that people felt like the stuff they were killing was not giving loot that was worth their time. But anyway, I digress. So, I mean, let me ask you this, Ninja Bunny, and then we'll kind of wrap up. Like, even though you kind of know this is where you stand on these types of games, have you ever, like, played a game where you're like, you know, I'm not usually into this, but this I'm into? Sort of like how we said, oh, we don't really play sports games, but I got a soft spot for Blades of Steel. I'm always going to. Is there something that kind of, like, breaks that down for you? Like, is there something that you play even though you didn't think you'd like it?
Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Interesting. That is definitely an RPG, and there's a lot to do in a game like that. Why do you think that game kind of broke the rule for you?
Probably because it has a robots.
You like robots are cool? You like robots and mechs and stuff?
Yeah.
Hey. Whatever the reason. I just think it's always interesting that, like, we might say we don't like XYZ type of game, but then it's like, oh, but there's this one exception because it kind of did this thing differently. In this case, you know what? I'll give it to you. It was an RPG fantasy thing that's not swords and shields and magic, and, like, I love all that stuff. It's fucking robots. It's different. Right?
That was, the original Xenogears.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you know, yes. So, anyway. All right. Well, Ninja Bunny, good topic. I appreciate the discussion. Take care. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Let me try to squeeze in one more call here. I want to try to wrap up here pretty soon because I got a headache coming on. But I want to squeeze in one more call here because I see a caller who I don't think has been on the show yet. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who is this? You may have yourself muted because we can't hear you, so just make sure you're unmuted and then say hello.
Okay. Maybe we should say ahoy.
Oh,
there.
My mic was muted. New move. Oops.
I knew it. It's always something along those lines. Hello, who's this?
Sorry. This is Slackkick. I didn't realize I got in the exclusive chat line.
You did. Hello. You've called our exclusive hotline. It's First Mate Slackkick.
Am I talking to Craig?
Yes, from the SS Game Buoy. How are you?
I'm good. And speaking of Game Buoy, you can go to gamebuoy.org. We're officially back. We're going weekly. So I wanted to thank everyone who, you know, has been keeping us in their back of their minds. I also wanted to ask
you're going weekly?
Weekly.
There's always going to be exceptions here and there, but I'm so happy for you guys. I was nagging you guys to do that a long time ago. I'm so glad. That's so exciting.
Yeah, we figured, you know, we're just going to go for it and keeping mostly the same format, but trying on a little more of a conversational take on things. So we hope you like it. But I didn't want to just plug my podcast. I did have a question for you, Robin. I don't know, because I was just in Final Fantasy 14. And I was dealing with that terrible raid with Diabolos. Like, it took 3 hours, just not really, but like it took a long time in the Alliance roulette. So I did not get to tune in when I had hoped to. But so my question is, like, I don't know if you talked about this earlier on the episode, I apologize, but I wanted to know what your thoughts are on the whole Viera controversy with no male bunny boys for Final Fantasy XIV. Because I know that you played a lot of Final Fantasy XI, where you know, there were only the male-only race and the female-only race. And then you were at the launch of Final Fantasy XIV too, right, where it was still gender-locked. So I kind of wanted to know your perspective on that. And
so I did address this a little bit on last week's show, but that's okay. I don't mind answering the question again. Now that I've had time to like process my thoughts a little more, I think the reason why I had a really big negative reaction to the fact that they did not do the boy bunnies, it's, you know, sure, I was looking forward to rolling one and all that, but also I just thought the Hrothgar that they showed that they did announce just didn't look good. Like, it looked like they were just using the Rogadin characters but put these, like, animal masks on them. I wasn't really a fan of that. Like, I almost feel like they shifted course partway through. It's so weird for Yoshi-P to get up on stage and be like, this is going to be the last race, this is it, and then all of a sudden get up on stage again later and be like, okay, but we got one more race and this is it. And it's just weird. But here's the thing, I think the reason why the whole thing bothered me, it just seemed like this unnecessary change in policy. And this has been a thing that was bugging me through a couple things that Final Fantasy XIV has done lately. And the reason why I say unnecessary change in policy is that when Yoshi and his team took over, and I want to make very clear, a lot of people have been very nasty online about this whole thing, and you know I am not about that. So, like, do not cyberbully people that work hard to bring you games. But I can say I don't agree with this decision, and this is why. When they originally took over Realm Reborn, you nailed it. In 11, they had this the Mithra, which became the Makode. They were gender locked to women only, and then they had the Galka, or now they became Rogadin, that were gender locked to men only. And they decided when they did Realm Reborn, they were like, you know what? We're listening to the fans, and we didn't really get the point of the gender lock. So you know what? We're gonna get rid of the gender lock and give the fans what they want. So it seems weird to me that they would do that. And then suddenly come out and say, but you know what? The Viera are only going to be females because the lore, that's the way the lore is. You know, if you played Final Fantasy XII, you know, the men stay in the shadows and they're in hiding. And it's like, bitch, you write the lore. If you don't like the lore, fix it. Like, it's very easy for you to do this. And if you want to talk about the lore, well, they've directly connected the Hrothgar to Ronso. And I believe in Final Fantasy X, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, there were female Ronso in Final Fantasy X. I mean, didn't Kilmari have a wife or something? Like, I'm almost
something
positive.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, so even worse, your Plan B solution is not lore accurate. And this also just ties in. The reason why I say this isn't unique to the races in Final Fantasy XIV is it kind of ties into the whole problems with Blue Mage, right? They had to make Blue Mage a limited job because, oh, that's the lore. That's the way we remember playing them in Final Fantasy V. And it's like, Final Fantasy XIV is a new entry in the series. You have every right to rewrite some lore. Like, you can make Blue Mage, like, take some of the basic components of Blue Mage, like, oh, they learn spells from monsters, and like, do your own thing with it, like they did the last time you had an MMO in Final Fantasy XI. It came out great in 11. So why this, dude? Like, it doesn't. So I will give them credit. They do seem to be hearing the feedback pretty loud and clear, and I think they will probably ultimately patch in the male bunnies and the female Hrothgar later on. But it just seemed like why all of a sudden are we inventing these rules that, like, we have to follow these old established patterns? Like, Final Fantasy XIV made a name for itself by taking the pattern that had been established by Final Fantasy XI and smashing it. So break the rules, Yoshi. You earned it. That's my thought.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts.
You're welcome.
Sharing is caring.
I have a lot of feelings. Quickly, what are your thoughts? You're a 14 player. What are your thoughts?
You know, I was going to make a. I was going to consider changing my aura into a bunny boy, but I really like my aura, so it kind of made that decision easier. I don't know. I mean, I understand why people are upset, but, you know, on the other hand, it is just a game, so, yeah, I don't know.
It is. I had my moment. I inhaled, exhaled, and I played 14
You had your untucked moment, Hunty. Yeah.
I did. I had to feel my oats, and I went back and I played 14 again this week, and it's I still have concerns, but I'll be okay. I'm gonna be okay. So, all right. Anyway, Slidekick. Everybody should listen to GameBuoy.org, and maybe once in a while, if you're into it, reading is fundamental as well. It's a fun show. So
yes, queen.
Thank you so much for calling in and being on the show tonight. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome anytime. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay. I do see other folks in the green room. I'm so sorry. I'm going to end the calls there tonight only because I've got like this headache coming on, and we're already almost 20 minutes past 9 o'clock because of some of the tech issues at the beginning. So I do kind of want to start to wrap up, but I do want to make sure if there's any other big stories, we get those out as well.
Yeah, I'll try to be very quick. Sega announced more games coming out, so they have some stuff for the Switch, including Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. Tokyo 2020, they're going to do an arcade edition of that as well. The Olympic Games, the official video game. That's on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch. And Sonic at the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 on iPhone and Android. So that's something to look forward to pretty soon. Enter the Gungeon's final update, Farewell to Arms, was coming out on April 5th as a free update. It's going to add new weapons, items, and another secret boss room and two extra characters, the Paradox and the Gunslinger. So that's something to look forward to this week. Let's see. Also, that guy Tyler Barris, who was a swatter that got an innocent man killed over a small monetary bet of Call of Duty, he got sentenced to 20 years in prison over that.
That's what you get for being shit.
He pled to, I think, like 50 counts of, I don't remember, of false reports of order. I don't remember what exactly the charges were, but 20 years.
Surprised manslaughter isn't on there.
Yeah, I'm surprised too. And then, of course, not to be outdone by PlayStation and Microsoft had their ID at Xbox Game Pass web video. And so they announced several games that are going to be coming to Game Pass day one, including Killer Queen Black, Outer Wilds, and Blazing Chrome. And those are going to be the same day as they launch. And those will be out before the end of 2019. They had other ones on the list as well, but I don't remember all of those. But it's neat to see that they're going to be supporting more indies that way. That's pretty much it.
Okay, thanks, Loki, for holding down the fort while I ran off to get a glass of water, trying to make myself feel better with this little headache I've got going on. Again, I want to apologize to those that didn't get through, but please feel free to send us an email for a future week. Participate at orangelaunchradio.com. But it is that part of the show where we go around and get everybody's final thoughts. So since I see Dark Sakura finishing a chocolate there, I'll start with Loki. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I got to finish porting over all these edits onto my cabinet. So I've got 8 down and probably like another 20 left. It's a lot. But it'll be new stuff to play, and they don't look easy at all. All
right. Sounds like fun.
Including, like, a Legend of, or was it a, yeah, Legend of Max edit by Gatton. So that's, I'm not looking forward to that. But I'm going to play it.
Let's see. My final thought is headaches are crap, and I hope this one goes away soon. I'm ready to take a nap, but at this late hour, that would mean just go to bed. So that's what I'll be doing pretty soon here as soon as we wrap up. Dark Sakura, you're... Excuse me, last but not least, your final thought.
I've had a constant headache since the beginning of February. And
that's no fun.
Found out why. So I just want some good vibes. Do not pray for me, because prayer without action is nothing. But I would appreciate some good thoughts. Unless you're a witch, then you can cast a good spell for my neck. But other than that, I'm about to go to Walmart on purpose to buy the machines that we're missing.
Good luck. I hope they sell.
We actually are missing Dig Dug.
They had a couple more of those. I think they had a couple more of both the ones I bought yesterday, so I think you should be fine.
We already have the Ms. Pac-Man, but we don't have the Galaga.
Oh, okay.
So I'll be going back for Galaga.
Galaga is a different collection. Galaga's the Target collection.
No, but there was another Galaga actually added. Dan looked them up.
Oh, okay,
so apparently
cool.
There's a Galaga in that series now. He's still like number 9.
Oh, so interesting. Okay.
I'll look at it. We'll see. But also, chocolate is amazing. And one last important thing for everybody. There's only one you in this world. Take care of yourself.
All right. Take care of yourself, everybody. We will see you. We're going to do this all again in 7 days. Have a wonderful night, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Oh, I almost forgot my usual spiel. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if your voices aren't here, what are we to do? We're lost. And with that, have a good week, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.